It's showtime.
With Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we are off and running on this 26th day of May 2022. It is amazing how quickly May has run away. And here we are on Thorn in the Side Thursday. It's been a little thorny today, but that's okay. That's okay. I have a feeling we'll have plenty to talk about this evening. In fact, I'm absolutely certain of it. Hi, I'm Robin. And, this is the Horn. And we live at headon.live on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between and the great globe round. Ah, yes. And if you pop in right now, well, I'm waiting to see because it's working. It looks like we've got a good group in. It'd be great if it would actually load. I don't want to tell you people are in the room who aren't in the room. Sometimes it's just that way. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know. 999. And thanks for the hard work you did getting the plug-in to load. I just had a note from Yuki, and she appreciates the effort. Let's hope it stays that way. I know. It's all internet magic, isn't it? Yeah? Right? So, yeah, if you pop by the chat room right now, you will be greeted by early arrivers Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Anatole. I'm so looking forward to meeting Roger next week. I think we're going to have a fantastic time at the Horn Inn. And Skeeve! Throbbing! Yeah! Awesome, because, you are capably moderated this evening by Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. I had a note from Steve in a public service announcement yesterday evening when I was talking about, that thing, the UTI. But I'm so glad that I got here in time for air, simply because it was possible I wasn't gonna. Today, of course, was shot day, and so I went over and got my shot, and I'll be on top of the world here in a couple of days. I'm not in bad shape now. It's just, it's even nicer when my levels are higher. Now the nurse looked at me and said, glad you popped in. I was going to give you a call. That doxycycline you were taking? Yeah. Quit taking it. Why? Because it ain't doing shit against whatever it is that you've got. Oh, great. So we're going to call you in something else. And the something else was Cipro. And so she said, I'll call it right in. You just head on over to Oak Hill. It'll be waiting for you. No, no. Despite her best efforts, it wasn't. So I finally picked up my prescription at about 4:20. No, really, about 4:20. And hightailed it hence to the, I know, Brother Bishop Steve says, Cipro, joy! But I made it in time, and I'm very happy about that, because I hate not being on the air. So I start that tonight, I guess. And that'll be a 10-day run. But I feel fine. I feel good. No fever, none of that, anything. But the thing is, Steve informed me of something yesterday evening, a little bit. Well, I saw it after airtime, and it just absolutely kind of blew my mind. I had no idea where pyridium came from. Now I know where pyridium comes from. And by the way, Steve tells me 12% of all males get UTIs, and the consequences can be just as severe. Notes that the pyridium, also known as azo, will give you the Martian pee, as Steve refers to it. And this is the part that just blew my mind, and Steve got it right off the bat. It's actually a carpet dye. Which begs the question, what SOB was sitting around with a UTI and thought, why not chug some carpet dye? That might work. Yeah, I know. Well, we tried everything else. Hey, wait a minute. But we live in a different time now. Maybe I should have picked up some horse paste. I mean, God knows the maggots use that for everything. Little horse paste, little hydroxychloroquine. Drink a big glass of pee. Well, not with the... No. I don't think... No, that would probably exacerbate. I said exacerbate the problem. Oh, I'm just trying to be a little bit lighthearted here. But, I'm gonna find me some D-mannose, the active ingredient in cranberry juice. Brother Bishop Steve was positively encyclopedic, and I really appreciate it. And by the way, thank you. Well, I just had a lovely note from Tamara. Tamara said it was good to chat yesterday, and I just wanted to check and make sure it was okay to tag you on Twitter. Didn't want to steal your ideas, but if I'm talking about you, I wanted to let you know. Absolutely fine. Never hesitate. You're perfectly fine doing that, Tamara. I mean, we're pals, right? And Tamara adds, about that UTI. Glad you have a prescription that'll work. Well, I'm hoping it'll work. At this point, I'm in the hoping stage. But Cipro is pretty powerful, and I've had it before, and I manage it okay. So I'm looking for good things. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn, of course, begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. So consequently, we send out thanks to our 26th day of the month subscribers, as we work our way toward the end of the month itself. So with that being the case, thanks go out this Thorn in the Side Thursday evening to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much to Earther as well. And that's our 26th day of the month subscriber list. Thank you both so much for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you for all you do. And I want to thank Yuki. I had a note from her, and she wants to set up a challenge. We are at, as of this evening, $2,050 to go to finish the month of May. So that means we're behind, but we can get there, because Yuki is doing her best, as many of you have. Yuki is setting up, or has set up, a $300 let's finish the month of May challenge. So everything that, if we can raise $300 this evening, that'll get doubled, and it'll turn into $600, and we will be down to $1,450 to go to finish May. And we've only got tonight, tomorrow, you know, it's not night, this afternoon, this program, working on a global basis gets so confusing. But we got this program, Friday on the front porch, and then Monday and Tuesday. So thank you, Yuki. Thank you so very much. And hopefully we'll knock it all out. Steve speaks with such authority. Yeah, I know. They are. They are. Gotta, can't, wanna, hurts. Yeah. About every minute and a half to two. Yeah. Yeah. But we're gonna think happy thoughts. It was a little bit gray today, but it was still gray and warm, which is better than gray and frigid. So, you know, when I was out running around, running errands and things, I was in a good frame of mind. At least the best I can be under the circumstances of what we've been dealing with this week. And, of course, what we've been dealing with this week, and, it, well, it's the fact, oh, Jesus. One of the teachers who was killed by the freedom outbreak in Uvalde, Texas, Irma Garcia, was murdered this past Tuesday. It just, well, her husband, Joe. Irma Garcia was murdered on Tuesday and left behind four children. Today, Joe Garcia suffered a heart attack and died. So in the space of 2 days, four little children have become orphans. Is the no, don't ask. Don't ask if the heartbreak is enough. Because, well, there's just going to be more. So let me back up a little bit and get a little bit better start on the evening, afternoon, morning, brunch, dark and still of the night, wherever you are on the planet. We have Joey's Journal. First of all, Joey writes, I'd like to thank Jude in the Great Northwest for her kind thoughts concerning the journal. The four of us, Jeffrey, Jr., Chai Two, and I, really work hard trying to put together some cogent thoughts about the events of the day. Frankly, my periodic absences over the last 6 months have been largely due to health issues. I'm struggling with exhaustion, says Joey, which I initially thought was from COVID, but now it appears my high blood pressure is causing most of my issues. Sorry, hiccups. Every time I use one of those little nicotine pouches, it starts. High blood pressure. I wanted very badly to attend the Horn-In, but I just don't have the energy to spend a weekend away, but near my home where I can steal some naps here and there. Robin was correct yesterday when I to editorialize when I expressed anger at my doctor upon the doctor's diminishing of chiropractor's prowess in practice. Yes, I know. Chiropractors are not medical doctors, but they can accurately take my blood pressure and give me good advice on preventive measures concerning reducing my blood pressure. For instance, I went back to my medical doctor yesterday, and he took my blood pressure and got a reading of 151 over 80. He said, I'm hesitant to put you on medication. Have you tried relaxation exercises, meditation, or yoga? I then said, Doc, that's exactly what my chiropractor suggested. My wonderful medical doctor then wrote a prescription and told me to keep working on my diet and watch out for symptoms related to stroke and heart attack. He's amazed that I can run 4 miles in 40 minutes on the treadmill 3 times a week, but don't hesitate to call me personally or just simply commence with taking the medication if you have numbness in the arms and legs or shortness of breath. By the way, my medical doctor actually gave me his personal phone number to contact him anytime, and that's impressive. Oh, God, here's Jeffrey. Really? All these years of doing Jeffrey as William F. Buckley, and now I got to do Jeffrey as Scarlett O'Hara? Really? My lands, I do declare, Joey loves his medical doctor. And, oh, dear God, there's Junior. Yes, Joey loves his medical doctor so much that he allows the doctor to stick his finger up it. But only his finger, nothing else. It's okay if it was something else, too. I mean, you do you, honey. God, what are we going to do about these giraffes?
Well, having said that, Robin raised a good point when she mentioned how important prostate exams are, and as well, so are colonoscopies. Joey will have both done at the end of this year. Joey was just a little upset when the doctor scolded him for being a few minutes late when we've all sat in doctor's offices collectively waiting for hours to see the physician. All things considered, Joey's doctor's office is run very efficiently compared to most, and he appreciates them very much.
And speaking of appreciation, thank you, Beto O'Rourke, for challenging these assholes in Texas yesterday and throwing the truth in their faces as they've done nothing to mitigate these shootings in Texas and throughout the country. How many shootings have there been in Texas now? And that asshole mayor of Uvalde trying to project shame on Beto for speaking out, and then this maggot mayor goes on Fox TV and proclaims that we need more armed cops in schools and that these shootings or people having access are all about mental illness. Sorry, asshole mayor, this is not about a good guy with a gun or mental illness. This is about people having access to assault rifles. Fuck you, Mayor Moran. And as you may recall, the good guy with a gun, the cop in the Topps Buffalo store, was shot to death. So much for a cop at every corner.
A cop at every corner would likely result in having a cop at every corridor because many will be shot dead with an assault rifle. Good job, Jeffrey.
Because there's a little something there that bears mentioning, and that is this. We now know, I don't know, I guess they tried to keep it from reaching the rest of the country at large. But we now know that Salvatore Ramos stood outside Robb Elementary School and squeezed off round after round after round after round. And, oh, well. And then he just went on into the school and kept shooting. Yeah. But the cops in Cincinnati, remember, are still upset about a painting of a piglet blowing away a handcuffed Winnie the Pooh and shooting him in the butt. Never mind. Oh, here's Joey 2 the kangaroo. In Australia, we rounded up all our assault rifles 25 years ago. We don't have this problem. And for that matter, neither does any other civilized and industrialized nation in the world. This only seems to happen in the United States of America. Hello, America. Can you hear me? Is anybody listening? Am I the only one who's hopping mad about this matter? Well, thank you, Joey, too. You're such a little doll. It was amazing to hear Tamara on the call last night out in San Diego. It reminded me of when Scotty, Rick, Tamara, and I were all together outside of a mall having our own little front porch with Robin in San Diego on September 10th of 2019. We all had a wonderful time. God, 2.5 years ago. Doesn't the time fly?
Yes, Tamara, I was wondering if I could enroll in one of your creative writing classes this summer out in San Diego, because I could learn a lot from you that I could pass on to Joey. As you may know, Joey is an aspiring creative writer and could use the help. Please forward all correspondence to Jeffrey the Giraffe 724 at gmail.com. That's Jeffrey with a G and two F's and an O in there, and GeoffreyTheGiraffe 724 at gmail.com.
Well, that was well written and very creative, Jeffrey. Last night, Tamara mentioned that there were at least 8 shootings that she's counted over the recent years in the greater San Diego area. That remark stopped me dead in my tracks.
as it hit very close to home, I was immediately reminded of the shooting at the San Isidro McDonald's where a man named James Huberty shot and killed 22 people in July of 1984. As it turns out, James Huberty was originally from Massillon, Ohio, not far from mine and Annette's home in Ohio. In fact, it was so close that Huberty's wife actually was an occasional substitute teacher at the school where my mother taught special education in Canton, Ohio. Miss Huberty was a substitute at that school until one day in 1981. My mother overheard her talking about her, how her husband said that he would like to go and hunt people. My mother reported, not too long after that, Huberty moved his family to the San Diego area. On the evening of July 18th, 1984, as I was watching television downstairs at my parents' home, all of a sudden I hear my mother yelling from upstairs, "Oh my God, that asshole actually did it!" I immediately ran upstairs to see what was going on, and she pointed at the CNN coverage of the San Isidro shooting and explained how she actually worked with his wife one day at school. Shootings of that nature were very rare back in the last century, and until Columbine, shootings weren't that frequent. So, for my mother, the San Isidro massacre was stunning on two fronts. Needless to say, hearing Tamara last night brought back a lot of happy and not-so-happy memories. Finally, I'd just like to thank Lady B for all of her incredible words of wisdom and her amazing writings that she offers up on the horn. The B in Lady B stands for brilliant. Speaking of my mother and Lady B, I'd just like to thank you, Lady B, for your kind words for all of the teachers out there. A few weeks ago, you mentioned in an email that this country would basically be lost without public schools and that all of these assholes who don't want to financially support public schools should try teaching your kids on your own and see how long you last. Lady B is spot on with that analysis, as I know how hard both of my parents worked as teachers, and during the summer months early in their careers, both parents had to maintain summer employment because considering educational compensation was so meager. My father started out at $4,000 a year in 1967, which in today's dollars amounts to $28,000 annually. My father would work construction during the summer months off until he became a vice principal and made a better living about 10 years into his career. My mother just turned 83 this past May 10th, and she still volunteers at the schools to help children with reading disabilities. So for all of you anti-public school pea brains, and we're not talking about anybody who's a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, go to hell with your bullshit, because the reality is most of you are the products of public schools that served you well. So this has been Joey's Journal for the 26th day of May, Thursday, 2022, with Giraffe saluting one of my favorite actors, Ray Liotta, who died in his sleep last night. I have only watched one mob movie from start to finish in my entire life, and that was Goodfellas, in which Ray Liotta played the main character, and I loved Liotta in Field of Dreams. Here's to Ray Liotta venturing into the corn stalks and hopefully meeting up with Shoeless Joe Jackson. Yeah, yeah. It's odd how we get touched by news like that. Actually, I saw Field of Dreams in a movie theater in Columbus, Ohio. Whenever that was that came out, was it 1988 or so? I'd gone to Columbus to meet halfway a dear friend of mine, and she and I we'd always enjoyed going to the movies together, so we went to see that. And we both just sat there holding hands and absolutely blubbered our way through. Oh, God, we bawled. Oh, and then I actually read the book. But that Ray Liotta has a lot of great credits. But to my mind, his role as Shoeless Joe Jackson in Field of Dreams will always be the one that I think of first. And so there's a $50 Loved Liotta challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey too. Thank you. So that means we've got $350 in challenges on the table, which, if met, will get us down to $1,350 to go to finish the month of May. And that is tremendous. 1989, thank you, Lee, in New York, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee, Research Department. 1989, Field of Dreams. So, yeah, that was the same trip. Oh, we had a blast. That was the same trip where we went to see Field of Dreams, ate in a really good Asian restaurant,
And then it just turned out that some of a selection of the life-size terracotta soldiers from the tomb of that one Chinese emperor, don't remember the name, but it was on display at a museum in Columbus. And she and I walked absolutely slack-jawed through that museum. It remains just an absolutely exquisite, it's the beauty of memory. And speaking of memory, before I actually had to run out and start running errands today, I had some quiet time, and I fired up the Nespresso Mini and the milk frother, and just deliberately sat back and relaxed, enjoyed my shut up decaf espresso latte, really, when you get right down to it. Cappuccino, well, maybe it was a breve. It was a breve. And there was light streaming through the kitchen window. Little Lucy was walking around my feet, and then when I sat down, she sat down next to me and commenced purring for all she was worth. And I was reminded of that line from Kurt Vonnegut, who encouraged people who read his work to try to find joy in the simple places in life. And he said, when you catch yourself in one of those, you need to be cognizant of it and say to yourself, well, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is. And it was nice. And it kind of made my day and put me in a really good frame of mind. I didn't even spaz when I was worried about getting back here in time for the program. Because I was just kind of in a chill place. Note coming in from Lady B, having been conjured earlier by Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey too. Head scratcher. Pollock has previously expressed the idea that regulating guns is not the answer to preventing school shootings and has advocated for schools to put in more always measures like barriers, bulletproof glass, and security officers. Lady B asks, who are the right blaming for the Texas shooting? Trans people, immigrants, and victims' parents. Oh, yeah. And directs my attention to a link titled exactly the same way by Arwa Madawi. From congressman to TV show host, right-wingers are blaming everything but guns for the loss of lives in Tuesday's massacre. And the Federalist found a way to blame Ukraine for the shooting in Texas. Sandy Hook proved the need to enhance K-12 security, one headline blared. Congress armed Ukraine instead. Gold medal, says Ms. Madawi, for mental gymnastics right there. Frau Engram brought Andrew Pollock, the father of a Parkland victim who's previously argued that guns didn't kill my daughter, democratic principles did. Pollock said, it's the parents. It's your responsibility where you're sending your children to school. You need to check where your kids go to school. You need to go back to school and see. Is there a single point of entry? Do you have guards at the school? So wait, Lady B says. It's easier and cheaper for us to treat schools as if they were maximum security prisons than it is for us to just outright ban the sales of combat-style automatic weapons. Or, lest some right-wing gun humper lurking in the program get all butthurt, semi-automatic weapons. By the headline, you can see he went on to blame the transgender community, immigrants, and the victims' parents, not the shooters. Just throw everything in there. No one knows why folks like him say these things. It's a mystery. Like, why fire from the skies strike trees? Or, how baby made? Either way, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. Lady B continues and says, I understand banning the sales of automatic weapons would not rid us of automatic weapons. We'd create a black market. Drug dealers already have one. But maybe if we did a buyback program, want offer above original sale price money, anything, anybody? And there is, in fact, an absolutely hilarious stand-up piece by Jim Jeffries. He's Australian, you know. And he talks about the black market for guns. And there is, in fact, a black market for guns in Australia. The thing is, a black market gun costs a whole lot of money. And as Jim Jeffries points out, it's not the kind of money that a disaffected, bullied kid can come up with, like, say, the day after their 18th birthday. Maybe we can do like England does and say you can keep it, but you have to register it with a gun club where they'll keep it in a locked safe for you. Then if you want to use it, you go there, you pay the fee, and shoot at targets that resemble zombies, scratching that anthropomorphic itch. Yes. Cowbell for anthropomorphic itch. I guarantee you that there's a lot being said in various radio programs around this country today. And I guarantee you that this is the only program in which the phrase anthropomorphic itch has been brought to bear. It would be like you're spending a fun-filled day at Six Flags Over Texas. Food and Pepsi would be served. Background checks mean nothing to a person who would purposely want to own an automatic weapon, even if it's just for fun. There's a pathology behind that, one that in 100 years from now, folks living in space colonies will study in class. Oh, there's a fun thought. Imagine the Second Amendment in, say, a colony in the asteroid belt. You know, bullets can do terrible, terrible things inside pressurized communities where outside there's nothing but vacuum. But I'm sure somewhere some right-wing think tank is trying to figure out how to have a Second Amendment in space, you know, for when Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos get in their dick rockets and decide to go out there and capitalize space. Yeah. No one not serving in combat needs a weapon like that. They should never have been marketed to the public, and stop with the gang members have them bullshit. It's true, but do you know how that happened? That was Ronald Reagan's doing. Ronald Reagan, all the white men who saw opportunity in selling drugs to inner-city blacks in exchange to buy weapons for the Contras. After a while, those not getting high on their own supply needed weapons to protect the product and themselves. Natural spillover. I hope Reagan is roasting on a spit in hell. From your mouth to God's ear, Lady B. Guns, guns, guns. We have a place here called Dragon Man where you can go for target practice. They have a 50 caliber machine gun you can shoot for fun. Got all kinds of crazy shit out there, and it's legal, all legal. Hallelujah. Stress relief for thousands. Though for the life of me, I don't know why shooting weapons that are solely designed to kill people would be a stress reliever. Different strokes for different pathologies, I guess. But it's better than bringing it into the workplace, am I right? There's a Simpsons quote where Ned Flanders says, "We've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. As I write this, I can see why we may be doomed. I don't see what's so responsible about owning an automatic weapon. Please, for the love of God, spare me the bullshit about needing it for protection. Every white guy, and they're always white, don't even live in neighborhoods where they need that shit." And that's the bottom line. I mean, if you draw the obvious military analogy, the only way that packing heat is any good to you in the case of an ambush is if you've got the heat out, the safety off, and you're ready to go. So what we're talking about ultimately, and I'm sure maybe they'll be talking about this at the NRA convention in Houston this weekend. God, I'm so old I can remember when the shooting took place at Columbine. The NRA convention was at was in Denver, and they actually postponed it. Gone are the days. Lady B notes, I have family members who own handguns. Some were in ugly situations back in the day. Some were in the military. They never take their guns out unless they're going to Dragon Man. Otherwise, they don't carry them, not on themselves and not in their car, unless it's in a case and they're going to Dragon Man. They don't go much anymore. It's not as fun or even necessary. As far as protection goes, we're all broke. Flat screens are ubiquitous now. What the fuck are you going to steal from the lower class? Plus, everyone knows someone with an MMJ license. Medical marijuana. Get plants from them. Grow your own. Wild gangs are not currently roaming the streets of Colorado Springs. We have incidents, shootings over personal beefs or domestic violence, but mostly in poor neighborhoods. The Citadel Mall, which has long since become home to kiosks of cheap phone cases and shops filled with cheap clothes and shoes for quinceañeras, homeboys, and thotties, seems to see a lot of activities. All the good stores have long since moved up north. Walmart's up there are rare. Those folks up north aren't afraid to go to Macy's or King Soopers. Their sons haven't snapped just yet. I can't believe we have to live like this. Short of a sweeping crackdown, we'll always have automatic weapons, and no matter how many times a white boy or Hispanic or non-Hispanic origin loses their shit, we'll look under the couch cushions to find a reason to keep these weapons on the streets. There's nothing that can happen to stop this. No amount of dead 6, 10, or 16-year-olds will stop this. On a happier note, my 10-year-old and my 13-year-old great-nieces graduated from 5th and 8th grade Monday and Wednesday, respectively. I call them my Princess Bunny Angel Pants because what could be cuter than that? Absolutely. Here's the pictures. I'll throw myself in front of a train for them because the life of a 10 or a 13-year-old is above and beyond any meaning of my life as an adult. School's out for summer. Alice Cooper, anyone? Oh, dear God, you are. Lady B, I love your DJ soul. So now we just have to watch out for store shootings and open-air event shootings like Territory Days, Spring Spree, and the 4th of July. All events will be teeming with cops. It's comforting, but there are so many people here with guns. You think it'll help? 5 military bases with an average enlistment of 4 years. You'd think we'd be safe, huh? We'll see. Everyone's ready until we're not. We as a country are not, and probably never will be, at least during my lifetime, but we're going to Territory Days anyway. Rather die on my feet, blah, 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 blah. It's 2022. Mass shootings are the new normal. Wear your sunscreen and hats, kids. Wear a mask if you need to. It's going to be a long, hot summer. We'll be lucky to survive it. Oh, but, yeah, oh, oh. Oh, your nieces. How absolutely precious. How utterly beautiful. Oh, my God. Yes. I see why you'd throw yourself in front of a train for them. Thank you, Lady B. You never bring anything but your A-game. And for that, I am intensely grateful. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Herbert. Thank you, Herbert. Herbert just took care of Joey and Giraffe and Junior's and Joey 2's challenge as well as Yuki's. And that is so profound. Thank you, Herbert. So now we really are down to $1,350 to go to finish the month of May. And I had dared not dream of that. But thank you, Herbert. Thank you so much. So let's check in here. Here's the solution to mass shootings, Ron in Raleigh says, presented by Georgia's senatorial candidate on the Republican ticket, OMG. I'm almost afraid to look at this. Oh, hey, look. Get out the hockey puck and the duct tape, y'all. It's Herschel. God, that sounds like it could almost be a sitcom. It's Herschel!
Except it wouldn't be particularly funny when he pulls out the straight razor and the gun.
See, that is the person wielding that weapon. You know, Cain killed Abel. And that's the problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that's looking at just social media? What about doing that? Looking.
Wait, what? Wesh, Edith, huh?
What about getting a department that can look at young men, what's looking at women on social? I'm not even sure he said that.
I get in a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that's looking at just social media. What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way? But yet they want to just continue to talk about taking away your constitutional rights. And I think there's more things we need to look into. This has been happening for years, and the way we stop it, by putting money into the mental health field, by putting money into other departments rather than departments that want to take away your rights.
Herschel. There will be no money for mental or behavioral health. Has nobody told Herschel he's a maggot? Has nobody told Herschel that he's running for the Senate of the United States? Has nobody told Herschel that he's a Republican? And Republicans don't give a flying fuck at a rolling donut about mental health? And I'm still not... the women look at young... What? I'm going to have to revisit my prior prohibition on keeping fifths of rot gut tequila in the house. And swirly straws, because I'm baffled. And I feel a little bit nuts. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just a little reminder, because this was... Well, this is actually this is back on Tuesday or maybe Monday even, when in advance of the Georgia primary. And the goddess of irony is really quite busy. We could have just as easily used this for yesterday's. We could have as easily.
Say his name?
We could have used this for prayer meeting Wednesday. I had no idea that there was something out there for Lindell, the thing out there called Lindell TV. But there is. And we're talking about Mr. Meth Pillow here, of course. And Lindell TV featured Georgia GOP candidate Candace Taylor back on the 22nd. And she was standing in front of her bus. And her bus on the... On the front of her bus, along with a great big humongous picture of her mug, is the... They're bullet point. Oh, dear. Yeah, I guess they're bullet point. She's a maggot, after all. But it also, in light of Uvalde and in light of Republicans, it becomes a fact statement. Namely, Jesus guns babies. That's what Candy there had on her bus. Jesus guns babies. Eat, shoots, and leaves.
We are not ashamed. We're going to do a political rally, and we're going to honor Jesus. We're going to say his name. We're not going to compromise. We're going to have Pastor Todd Coconato that came up here and delivered an awesome word, and we're not going to be ashamed.
Wait, Pastor Todd a coconut? Is that anything like throw me from the train... Throw mama from the train a kiss, throw me down the stairs, my hat. Umpire killed by car crossing the street. Yeah, okay.
Okay, Candy.
You're not going to tell us separation of church and state. We are the church, and we run the state.
Theocrat.
The church as a business doesn't get to monetarily control the government.
Wait. I think it was all the way back at the beginning of my return to radio when I coined the phrase, the religion industry. I never expected to hear one of their members actually confess it. The church as a business. Did you get that?
The church as a business doesn't get to monetarily control the government. I will never let that happen. There will no church in Georgia monetarily control the government.
Monetarily is doing some work. How about legislatively? Or philosophically? Or theocratically? Well, that's a different story now, isn't it? Jesus guns babies! Yeah, so much for turn the other cheek, says Lee in New York.
We are the church, friends. It's us. We are the church. And it says of, by, and for the people. The church...
Wait, no. What says of, by, and for the people? Of the people, by the people, and for the people shall never perish from the earth. Honey, I think that's the Gettysburg Address, but you wouldn't want to be quoting Lincoln down in Georgia, because that'll make people think of Sherman, and, well, there you went.
Runs the state of Georgia. This state is sovereign. This is our state. We decide what happens. We decide if we kill babies.
Jesus guns babies, y'all! I'm telling you. I mean, I do the best I can. Really do. But much more of this, and I think it's rather a tall ask to expect me to stay out of the rock cut tequila. It really is. By the way, our buddy John in Central PA says, it's actually way worse than that, Robin. The cops virtually used those kids as human shields. They cowered outside for 40 minutes in Uvalde. Well, that's so true. Balmer Bob says, you know, Robin, if your state's chock full of rattlesnakes, odds are your state will lead the country in rattlesnake bites. It's not hard to figure out how your country will rank in mass shootings if you're chock full of guns. I mean, they are the problem. I think... explain to me why 50 Republicans who are... Are we old enough to remember when Republicans were all about law and order? We remember that? I mean, Genghis Khan, wasn't he a law and order president? Right, yeah.
Can't we just shoot him in the knees or something?
Right. Well, why do you... If the House were to pass, and this is by no means a remedy, or a complete remedy, but it's a thing... If the House were to pass a bill and send it over to the Senate, and if that bill were to say that if you use a semi-automatic assault rifle in the commission of a crime, any crime of a federal nature, or maybe say any crime, and then confer federal jurisdiction. I know it sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but I'm not. But why wouldn't a bunch of Republican senators and Republicans in the House, why wouldn't this pass almost unanimously? If you commit a crime with a semi-automatic weapon, whether you do so as a lawful gun owner or an unlawful gun owner, if you use a semi-automatic assault rifle to commit a crime, then upon conviction thereof, you go to prison for life without opportunity of parole. I don't care what the crime is. How long would that take to get to the Supreme Court on the claim of cruel and unusual punishment? How would this gang, this gang of six miscreants, pretzel logic themselves into 17 different knots to say that, well, murdering somebody who's innocent is not unconstitutional, but putting away somebody for life without the opportunity of parole for committing a crime with a semi-automatic assault rifle is? I mean, just... I mean, we can at least think about these things. Why would Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, vote against a bill like that? Why would, you know, pick one? Why would Senator Tommy the Tuber, Tommy Potato Town, vote against that? Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, why would he vote against that? Anybody? Bueller? Lady B says, I don't remember what I write sometimes, but if Giraffrey is thanking me for saying that, cool, props to the person who did. It wasn't me. But Ray Liotta, Goodfellas with his beautiful, intense green eyes, donating on his behalf. He'll be missed. Thanks for what you do, girlfriend. Thanks for what you do, girlfriend. And so, thank you, Lady B, for jumping in. Moving downward toward the $1,300 mark. And with the challenges met, we have another challenge courtesy of Billable Rick. The third time's a charm challenge to commemorate my third hole-in-one in the past 2.5 years. Mighty are the powers of Billable Rick, but it's good to see him using them for good. To commemorate my third hole-in-one in the past 2.5 years, I'd like to make a $50 challenge to be doubled to $100 once it's been met. You can cross-collateralize the front end of this challenge to apply any existing challenges. Well, it's just a $50 challenge, but it's a two-for-one challenge. Your dollar becomes $3, not one. Thank you, Billable Rick. Here's how the ace happened. The tee box to hole number 17 at my local golf course sits on top of a hill, and the green below is mostly obscured from view 100 yards away. I hit a high and straight sand wedge, which I knew was on the green, as I drove down the hill to look for my ball, thinking that it may have rolled off the back of the green. A golfer on the hole number 18 tee box asked, "Is that your ace?" I responded, "Suppose it is," and asked him how it happened. He said the ball hit about 3 feet to the right and slightly above the hole and then rolled downhill into the hole. I then walked over to the hole and noticed my bicolored, orange and yellow, Srixon, sitting comfortably in the bottom of the cup. I looked at the divot on the green and observed the tracking of the ball from the point to the hole, took some photos, and then pocketed the ball for safekeeping. I wasn't about to use that ball on hole number 18, which Ron recently did after his ace, and then proceeded to lose the magic ball on the next hole. It looks like another horn miracle will happen this month. I wish I could make it to the horn in next week, but I've just had ginormous expenses recently. But please give my regards to everyone who makes it. I, too, like road trips, as I drove 2,000-plus miles from Iowegia to California to attend law school last century. What a great line that is. But I don't think I have the time to do it right now. But, Tamara, you and Sandra should do it. Best, Billable Rick. Thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you. And so, thank you to James. We are now $40 away from meeting Billable Rick's challenge. Thank you. And by the way, Rob Elementary, Flavio notes, had an entire police department, 5 resource officers. A lot of good they did. The 40 to 50 officers Border Patrol tactical team, according to AP and Reuters reports, took anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to move in. They were too busy beating up the parents in the parking lot who were freaking out hearing their kids being slaughtered and bleeding out. Cruz wants to make it about an unlocked door, so it's now the school's fault. Others want to arm the teachers and the children, for fuck's sake. I heard someone say something about ballistic blankets. Or, you know, we could do something about the goddamn guns. Well, you know, then the disaffected, bullied kids would just start showing up with
samurai swords or assegais or katanas. Okay, what? Secure the perimeter. Steve in New York says, Seth Meyers does a pretty good commentary occasionally called A Closer Look. Last night he did one. He showed a plethora of comments on Fox Noise. I heard these comments about elementary schools. Fortify the perimeter. Bulletproof gun blankets for active shooter events. Of course, not necessary for the passive shooters. Armed guards at doors. Yeah, well, a passive shooter, that's when the gun just goes off. Armed guards at doors, locked and secured doors, bulletproof glass, and so on. As I listened to this, I couldn't help but wonder if they actually heard themselves talking. Could they imagine their elementary school teachers and principals, low so many months ago, extolling these virtues about their elementary schools when they were kids? If any teacher or principal had said to my mom or dad, well, Mr. Father of Steve in New York and Mrs. Mother of Steve in New York, Steve will be safe because we have armed guards at every entrance, barbed and razor wire fencing on the top of a 15-foot-high bulletproof glass perimeter around the schoolyard, bulletproof glass in all windows, a completely secure perimeter, and we have heavy active shooter gun blankets on order, and we special deals on bulletproof backpacks for kids who meet the income requirements. Otherwise, you can purchase them at the discounted price of $39.95. Steve says, sounds fucked up, right? Sounds like pure fiction, right? Except no, because everything I said here, someone said seriously on Fox Noise last night. We're living in the oh, that'll never happen times. You know, the first thing I thought as I was, because I saw some of this earlier in the day, thank you for reminding me, Steve. Does it not dawn on these dumbasses that when schools are outlawed only, no, it's not that. That when you can't get into the schools, they'll find out a way to get into somewhere else? You know, like the Tops supermarket in Buffa-fucking-low? I guess not. God almighty. This interview destroyed me today, Matt in San Francisco says. I can't even imagine this father's pain. We have lots of work to do as a society.
You're holding a picture of your daughter. She had just won an honor roll.
Stand by. Wait a minute. The audio is not so good. I want to do better by it. Here we go.
You're holding a picture of your daughter. She had just won an honor roll.
Yeah.
What do you want people to know about her?
That she was just trying to do the right thing. She was just trying to call the cops. She was so scared of just strangers and things like this. Like, she would lock the door when I would step out to put gas in the car. Like, this is literally like her worst fear, and she was just trying to help everyone.
She talked about something like this.
So I'm a med aide. So when I arrived on the scene, they still had kids inside. They started bringing the kids out, and I was aiding assistants. One little girl was just covered in blood, head to toe. Like, I thought she was injured. I asked her what was wrong. And she says she's okay. She was hysterical, saying that they shot her best friend, that they killed her best friend, and she's not breathing, and that she was trying to call the cops. And I asked the little girl the name, and she told me, she said Amory.
That's how you learn.
She was so sweet, Mr. Cooper. She was the sweetest little girl who did nothing wrong. She listened to her mom and dad. She always brushed her teeth. She was creative. She made things for us. She never got in trouble in school. Like, I just want to know what she did to be a victim.
She loved being a big sister. You have a three-year-old son named Zane.
We have a three-year-old son named Zane.
Who
asks for his sister every morning when he wakes up. Just...
He doesn't know at this point, I assume.
We've informed him that his sister is now with the God, and that she will no longer be with us. And of course, he just cried. I mean, he's 3 years old, and it's still emotional for him to even process.
This is unbearable. Yeah, I understand, Matt. This interview destroyed me today, Matt said. But let's be clear. Not one goddamn Republican in the entire United States of America gives a tinker's damn about Amory Garcia. Or about her mama or her daddy. Not one. Because if they did, don't get me wrong, they will offer up their tots and pears. But those are cheap and easy. If you ask them to actually do something, fuck no. The only thing the goddamn Republican Party is willing to do, and I mean that sincerely, if there is a God, I hope they are all damned. If they are not self-damning as it stands, not one of these goddamn Republicans will do anything substantive. I mean, someone would have to introduce the bill, but what I said earlier, you know, I'm an opponent of the death penalty, so I can't say that. But life without opportunity of parole for anyone committing any crime and using a semi-automatic assault weapon in the process. Wait a minute. Let's not pick on the poor bedraggled AR-15s. I remember several years ago, a couple of people got all butt hurt when I got disgusted when I went to the little street festival down the road here a couple of miles, and I saw a t-shirt vendor who was offering up a t-shirt that showed an AR-15 in profile on the front, black t-shirt, gun was in white lettering. No, it was a white t-shirt with the gun in black, the silhouette of the gun in black lettering. And it said, "Is it because I'm black?" Dude was also selling Confederate flags. But let's not pick on the poor AR-15s. You know, there are billboards, I see them here in West Virginia, that say hard time for gun crime. You've probably seen them too. How about lifetime for gun crime? You commit a crime in the United States of America that involves any firearm, you go to prison, life without the opportunity of parole. Jesus Christ, we're going to let Josh Duggar out. Pedophile. Child pornographer. He's going to get out of the federal stir in 12 years. You remember the Ketanji Brown Jackson hearings and the shit hemorrhage that 3X Marsha had over sentencing of pedophiles? Wouldn't you love to see Marsha debate her way out of this, what I just mentioned here? And how is it cruel or unusual? We have a gun problem. And yeah, back to Amory Garcia, Steve in New York thinking the same thing I did. How in the fuck does anyone look at that and not get sick of the fact that an elementary school child was actually scared about something like this actually happening? Fuck! Someone wielding a baseball bat in my high school was cause for panic. High school! Yeah, poor little Amory Garcia was afraid of everything. That's what her daddy said. She had been so thoroughly traumatized without anything happening that she locked the door when daddy got out of the car to put gas in. America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, in the universe, forever, under God, amen. Yeah, I'm going to calm down a little bit. Jeremy in Vermont points out, Texas, not to mention we have now learned the police never engaged the monster as he walked into the school. In an account of the horror from one of the children that survived, once the police did enter the school, they called out, "Yell help if you need help." And once they did, a girl let out a scream of help, and then the killer proceeded to shoot her dead. I'm sure somewhere, some president of some goddamn cop union is terribly offended that this information is getting out. Let's go over to the stress line, see what we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, this is a precarious place to enter. There's so much. I mean, what an incredible job you've done with some really powerfully painful... and I don't want to be somebody that calls in and breaks down. I have to just release it from me. But
Jude, don't hold back, dear.
Well, you know, the Hispanic, I have one of my grandchildren is half Hispanic. And that culture is so sensitive and so beautiful and so family-oriented. And, yeah, there's parts of it, you know, that there's rough things that happen, like in all of our cultures. But it's taken me, I had to leave work today early because I got everything taken care of. But I just had this well of grief that just started becoming too heavy. And this past few days when I picked up the boots, because whenever I exit my car, I always have the boots over my shoulder. They themselves are heavy laden, you know, like it's holding kind of a weight of something. But what is extremely disturbing, and I thank the two gentlemen that wrote in about the specifics, I had sent you that one on Broad Story, is that the Border Patrol came. Now, when the boots were down in El Paso, we went and did a stand at the Walmart, and it was almost a day to that, just a month prior to that, that massive shooting went on. And during that period of time, my sister was dying on hospice. And I told her, I said, you know, I just have this sense I have to take the boots and go. And we worked our way through how we would be able to handle that. You know, just, you know, the universe is going to do what the universe is going to do. And she gave me a small little medallion. And she said, just take this with you. Well, when after we'd been down at both Trinillo and Clint Custom and Border, you know, where the big...
You there? You okay? You okay?
I am.
You okay?
Yeah, I am. We ended up standing there at the Walmart, and they had it must have been a block long of flowers that came out 3 or 4 feet. And there's still, El Paso has this really clean, kind of dry energy to it. And down at where the detention sites were sitting and probably still are, you know, it's just up from the Rio Grande. And so that kind of energy has its own kind of flow to it. So when we were standing there, there was a gentleman, and he was at the end of it, and he was working his way through the flowers. He was all bent over, and he was clearing things, and I came by and I said, hello. And he bends up this worn, worn body. And he was taking care of his wife's memorial. And he goes on about the history of how they had with each other. And I was just laden with, you know, his heaviness and his openness and his vulnerability to share something. And his hands were blackened by the soil of all the, you know, flowers that had begun to deteriorate, and And it was just this collection of so much. Well, my daughter Carrie captured a photo of the two of us talking. And when I came back, I went through the series of photos, and I looked at that one, and I deleted it immediately because it wasn't to be captured necessarily from visual, but it was something, it was an experience of a moment that was really important. And when we left there, we ended up going to one of the emergency hospitals. It took, 28 were killed, mostly Hispanics. 20-something, injured. So we found one of the trauma centers, and we, got out of the car, and everything was pretty much locked up. And when we got to the entrance to the emergency room, I just stood there. And I had taken out of the boots that little medallion that Mary had given to me. And finally someone came out, and I was able to exchange that, explaining that someone from my part of the country had great, esteem and reverence for what they had experienced during that period of time, and handed that over. So when I heard about the children again, one more time, all that came back, and it came back in a real visceral way, Robin, to me, because those boots had been down there in the Texas soil. And then it took me back into Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, those children were slaughtered on a Friday in 2012, December 14th. That following Monday, that all of us will always remember that, that Friday. But that following Monday, I get this huge pounding on my door. And I was living in a small little cottage on a place called Burley Lagoon that was fed from Henderson Bay. That came
I remember
in
the picture.
From my front porch to the bulkhead was 23 feet. And when I stood on the bulkhead and looked down, it was 8 feet to the beach. It was right there. So the pounding goes on and on. And so I get up and I open this door, and it's the gal that works at this little meat market. I lived in a small little cul-de-sac on the water there. And she said, Jude, you've got to get out of here. I said, what? She says, the water. So I go over to my front door, and I pull open the blind. And it's like my house is floating in the water. It was beyond my pale to comprehend.
Oh, my God.
You have to go. Yes, yeah. So she leaves, and I go in the bedroom, and I pull open my pillowcase, and I put all these things that I can. I didn't even know what I was doing. By the time I got to the back door, the water had already begun. It had two, it was cement, and then two huge stairs that went down. That was coming up. So I stepped down, and I had my boots on, and when I stepped down into the, into the ground itself, the water started going into my boots. Great big logs are going through lawn furniture, everything. It was chaos. I get open the gate, and I get to my car, and I open it, and I go in to sit down, and the water rushes in, and I can't get the car started because I can't stop my right leg from clearing. It's going on. And I look to my left, and I look to the right, and all this water is converging. I finally back up about 30 feet, and it was that, I thought last night, it reminded me of a book of Hawkins, not the physicist, but one that got into kinesiology about power versus force, and that they're two different dimensions. But at that time, it was the convergence of both of those. So later on, when I came back home, I could see from the gate all the sludge, and I had to push my foot open, to get the gate, there must have been 3 feet of debris. And I walked around, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the water had resided, and everything remained, and I'm crawling over logs. And I sat there as the sun began to descend, thinking, wow, what is... And then, just from my perspective, it was like somehow the universe had to process such tremendous grief. And yes, it was a red tide that they talk about. But on another level, of those who understand that, there's something that goes on that will balance us. I don't know when it's going to come, Robin. It's sure not going to come for those families now. But, in the course of things, there's if we stay connected, if we appreciate the moment at hand, right now it's so vital that every moment that we're out and aware, make that moment vital. And not to say that we're going to be pessimists, you know, we're going to just give our lives willingly to something. I'd never step back from defending someone. But all we can do is a culmination of all the finest parts of who we are and hold on to these moments of grief, because out of that grief, awareness will come. And thank you. Thank you for letting me.
Oh, there's no, Jude, there's no thanks needed. There's no thanks needed. You share what is raw and what is real. And that matters, that moves people. Dave in the Blind just wrote and said, Jude, you're always letting us remember we have hearts. I want you to know I need to thank you. With love, Dave in the Blind.
It's kind, yeah. Resonating. Yeah, that resonating. And again, when you played that, that audio, and just to think of people at this moment having that depth. You know, when I was in hospice, we were mostly, I mean, we have younger people, but there was a designated group that would do pediatrics hospice. And every so often, if there get to be an overflow, you know, we'd have to go in. You know, and those, all these strange, important, piercing kinds of revelations come back of just my personal history of, you know, having to be in the house of someone preparing their child to die, that have had support from people all the way along the road. Doesn't make it any easier, but here these parents are again, let alone think of Sandy Hook and all the high school, all the things that have gone on. And it's pretty breathtaking. And I wanted to give a shout out to Heather and Ken and Tamara, because I think that they fed new flow into the horn by being vulnerable and calling in. And I really appreciated hearing that. So, and everyone else.
Good. Good. They will be glad to hear that.
So what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think my thoughts. One of the best parts of this is that I get to share my thoughts for hours on end, and as I've said 1,000 times before, I think it's a better program when there's an interchange of dialogue. I'm much more interested in what you had to say. I have basically been screaming my fool girl head off for 4 days now. And maybe there's some catharsis involved, but I hate more than anything else the enforced nihilism that attends all of this, because I remember back in the day one of these things would happen, and the first thing out of a goddamn Republican's mouth would be, well, this is not the time to politicize this horrible, horrible tragedy. We need to be focusing on the thoughts and the prayers. Well, now, because of Republican inaction, we don't even get time to focus on the tots and the pears.
Mm-hmm.
There was no meaningful space between Buffalo and Uvalde. And odds are there's not going to be any space between Uvalde and the next one. And the next one, 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 and the next one. Until such time as the American people get tired enough of it to act. I mean, I apologize. I apologize, Jude, for what I'm about to say. But of the grieving in Uvalde. And if I need to be forgiven for this, I hope the universe will forgive me. I talked about it last night on the program. I went back after the program last night, and I reread that passage from All the King's Men that I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I wept. I really and for truly wept. And oh, this is hard, but I want to know. I think people deserve. Actions have consequences, Jude. Will you agree?
Yes.
You're a cause and effect girl, right? I mean, you.
Yes.
You follow philosophical and faith traditions that are actually centered on cause and effect. Am I correct in my assumption?
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, I think so. I hadn't thought about it, but.
I mean, yes. concepts of karma and dharma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to say this, and if I piss people off, it won't be the first time now, will it? But this seems particularly heinous. And can I go ahead and say it anyway?
Yeah, you must. You must.
Among the dead of Uvalde, I wonder how many voters for Ted Cruz and John Cornyn and Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton and Dan Patrick there are. I wonder how many of the parents of the dead in Uvalde voted for the Republican candidate. That hateful shit-eating mayor that screamed at Beto O'Rourke. I wonder how many of the parents of Uvalde voted for that merciless son of a bitch. And I wonder if it enters their consciousness.
And maybe they will not vote again for that person.
Well, they,
and that's okay to.
Well, but the thing is, they probably will continue to vote for those people because nobody is going to draw that line for them. You know, we go and we vote and we think, well, you know, I mean, Republicans are so much better than this. They go and they vote for the precious little fetuses this is. Or they go and they vote because they're going to have freedom and they're going to protect their goons from the goon-grabbing demoncrats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I mean, I'll just interject that. It sounds like that's coming from your base chakra, that place of survival and having to look at things that one would never. People like us, you know, them, I don't mean but individuals that have critical thinking and are impacted by emotions and all of that that comes through us, it's profoundly difficult to walk through that. And right now, you just offered a part of yourself that you had to say. You had to say that. But do you remember back when you and Todd and I were talking and I had called into the Supreme Court and, you know, redirected me, which I am with Leahy, have connected, and both my senators about, you know, Murkowski and all of that. You said that we're on, I can't remember how the verbiage you used, but that you and I were on completely different planes. And later on, I thought about that you were more of a practicality and you know, like Washington, D.C., and the things that you do, and how I was kind of viewed as more kind of this spiritual whatever. But you know, where those boots go, that's concrete soil of standing. And it reminded me that maybe when we share these times, it's the flow of yin and yang. You know, that openness of you sharing what you just did now and then my coming in, and whether or not that flow can help us balance each other. I don't have anything to ease that. Does that resonate anywhere within you?
Well, it does, but this
it doesn't change anything.
This is just a concrete reality. This will continue to happen until the American people decide that they don't want it to happen anymore. Like I've said with so many other things, and I mentioned this last night, Jude. The fact that we have hunger in this country is not the operation of some immutable law of physics.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice that we have made. The mm-hmm. fact that we have people who do not have a roof over their heads at night is not an immutable law of physics. It is a choice that we have made. The fact that little children are gunned down in a town no one's ever heard of, a couple of miles from the border in Texas, and their bodies are so mangled that they have to be identified by the DNA information that their parents keep on file for just such an occasion is not a function of an immutable law of physics. It is a choice that we made. But if there is a silver lining to be had in this shit brown cloud, it is that we can choose to go in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
You ever tried to get a mule to turn around?
I've never been with a mule. But I can imagine.
It ain't easy. Sometimes yeah. some force must be applied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I often wonder, you know, when I go out with the boots, you know, where that tipping point is. And I often write with Mikey Weinstein about always, you know, I always reassure them, you know, if there is ever a barricade set up, I'll be right there with you. You know, that kind of concrete understanding. You know, I was talking with my son who I have two sons, but one carries. But does that out of, you know, because Mike mentions that, you know, he carries. And I've known a few people. That's part of, you know, we're all together. We're all together on this side. And I'll go back again, having those new voices come into the horn. Robin, that is so good. I mean, it's going to have to take a shift somehow. I mean, you know, we'll work hard to be able to create a community. But people have to be willing to be, you know, at times step out and want to reach out to each other. You know, just not in this forum. I loved last Friday on the front porch, on the back porch. It was the first time I had ever called in. Kevin had been encouraging, and I was muted the first time. Steve was, you know, the moderator, and I heard him, and then I heard Roger. And since I didn't realize what was going on, they pulled the plug right away. So I thought, well, gosh. So I called back in. It was so comfortable. It was a different forum. Even the audio sounded different than how it is when you respond to me when we're talking. The graciousness and flow that Steve from Georgistan had, and then Roger went on, talked about his history as a math teacher, because I, you know, brought up about how I struggled with that. I mean, the whole family's got DNA. I mean, they got PhDs doing that. And, you know, Kevin was there. Aza came in. I never heard Aza's voice. And there was a gentleman from Maine who now lives in California, had the most serene tone to his voice. And then there was a fellow from, a younger gentleman from Vancouver, B.C. that called, that was on the interchange and talking about different places that as a child, I lived a lot of my life up there because my mom and dad were, you know, from there. And the most important part was that I didn't know that when you call into the back porch that you have to, you know, give your name. It's private and wonderful and protected. So maybe that sounds a strange way to end something that's been so impactful the past couple of days, but I have that back porch opened up a huge different dimension for me. And for anyone that's listening that maybe might not feel comfortable calling in, you will eventually, but try the back porch because you'll be protected by community and you'll learn about people in a real easy forum. And, you know, may everybody rest tonight and my best to all. And take care, Robin.
Jude, be well, my dear. Be well.
I will. Care.
Thank you for everything.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, and good night.
And, well, like I've said, Jude is the spiritual advisor to the horn. Oh, I'm sorry. I just accidentally hung up on it. I reached for the wrong button. If you were trying to call in on the stress line, please call right back, and we'll get you on the air. Okay, hold on here. And whoever it was that was on the Skype line, you jump back in too. I'm having wire problems. Time to read a... Well, time to get a new wire. Brother Deacon Asa says, also regarding your voting comment, I'll go a few steps more hateful. The way this comes to an end is when the son or daughter of the wrong former Marine sharpshooter gets killed in a school shooting. Read into that as you may. And I'm really not saying anything in all of this that cannot be found in the book of Genesis. You know, the holy book. The holy book of the people who profess to follow a holy book. Within the holy book of the people who profess to follow the Prince of Peace. Because that's the whole plagues and Pharaoh story in a nutshell. Pharaoh was perfectly willing to shit all over the children of Israel day by day, minute by minute. And he didn't even learn when the first plagues got turned on him, the rivers of blood, the frogs and the locusts. And then finally he got the I'm rubber, you're glue treatment. And he ordered the murder of the firstborn son of the every family of the children of Israel. Oops. And instead he got to hold the body of his own. And only then did Pharaoh's heart relent. We've got an entire political party of Pharaoh. Hard-hearted Pharaoh. But that's a morality tale from a long time ago, suggesting at least marginal redeemability of even the worst of people. But remember, please, a guy with a gun walked on to a baseball field and started shooting a few years back. And damn near blew Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, stand away. And as soon as he was able to get up and walk and move around, the first thing he did was go over and kiss the goddamned ring of the NRA. So I don't know if this lot can learn like Pharaoh learned. I honest to God don't know. I'm going to the Skype line in a minute. I just want to check the mailbox real quick. How many parents voted for Republicans? Lady B says all of them. Forget it, Jake. It's Texas. They'll no more put two and two together than a multiple gun owner will think they're part of the problem. Cognitive dissonance isn't the name of a disco group. It's an American ethos. Oh, and by the way, Jude, Steve from Georgia Stan says, hi, it was wonderful having you on the back porch. Please drop by any time. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just kicked in $21 for Uvalde. Thank you. Suman in Arizona Stan says, school year end. I can't wait for the school year to end next week here in Phoenix. At least my kid will be safe for a couple of months. My wife and I feel the same way. This is where we are now in our country. I don't think there is a point to this email. I just wanted to vent, I suppose. Vent away. God knows you've a right. Got a tremendous right. Your child has already been through active shooter drills. God. I mean, I remember drills. We had fire. We had three kind of drills at Harlan Elementary School. We had fire drills. Building was built of brick, but still, you have fire drills. It's got a kitchen in it, so, you know, it's possible. We had civil defense nuclear war drills. Okay. But the one we really took seriously, and the one that we all kind of felt like, and it left a mark, the tornado drills. And those things were frightening, and they were traumatizing. And a few times in school, the siren sounded a couple of miles away. Air raid siren of a different sort. Because it was a tornado, it's a raid, and it's the air, and we all got under our desks and away from the windows. In fact, a lot of good that was going to do. But we never had a drill for somebody coming in with a goddamn gun. Hell no. But now, in places like Oklahoma, Stan, you get fire drills, tornado drills, and active shooter drills. And the more likely, the less gun laws there are, the more likely it is that the kids will eventually have a live fire, non-drill. This is not a drill. This is not an exercise. God. Oh, this is interesting. Darlene in Connecticut says, "McConnell, you were, yeah, I'm sorry you couldn't get in. You were trying to, Darlene, you were trying to call on the line that Jude was on. I can't merge those." CNN exclusive, McConnell says he has directed Cornyn to engage with Democrats on a bipartisan solution on gun violence. I don't even have, I'm so fresh out of snark, I can't even address that. I'll believe it when I see it. Because they're still holding their NRA convention, and there will still be Republicans going down there to kiss the goddamn ring. Won't there? Let's go over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi. It's Steve.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
You know, I'm just numb. When you said what you said about, you know, wondering, couldn't help but wonder whom they voted for, I went one further. I channeled my inner Jonathan Swift and thought, well, that's 18 fewer Republicans that we're going to have, or 19 down the road. And it's horrible, and it's sick, and it's...
But this is a Hispanic community, largely Hispanic community down near the border, and I don't think the demographics play out quite that same way. We know that they did elect a goddamn right-wing piece of shit mayor, though. There's no getting around that.
You know,
don't put any pressure on yourself. I mean, you take the time that you need.
I have no words. And what has stuck in my mind is why is this so much different for me than stuff than the ones in the past? Because for me, this felt like a turning point. I don't know why. I don't know why. This seemed to be the the one in which I can't explain it. I frankly have to wonder if, and again, I keep saying this in all of my in how I've paid so much attention to foreign press, particularly the UK and Canada, even some in New Zealand, some in Australia. And what I have realized is they have their MAGA people, just they're not called MAGA, obviously, but they have their MAGA people just like we do. And they're not fringe, just like ours aren't. I mean, one need only look at Boris Johnson in the UK, and I hear stuff about him every day, and you could just replace the word Johnson with Trump. It's the same shit. It's the same shit, minus one thing.
Namely?
Guns.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw this from Sky News, confronted Senator Pfeifengesicht.
Which one is that? Oh wait, I know.
Every time I hear that smarmy fucking voice, I'm not a violent person, but God, I just want to slap him across the mouth. And that fucker is, let me digress or go off the beaten path for a sec. When I saw what Beto did, I thought, that's exactly what we need to start doing. To hell with this. This is not the time to politicize it. And that's exactly what he did. He basically said, this is time. You're at fault. My understanding is what he basically said was, this is your fault. You have blood on your hands here. And that big fat white mayor cracker or whoever the hell that was, I thought, you know what? Shut up, you third grade educated boob. And I know I don't mean that to be pejorative towards folks who don't have education. I don't mean it that way. But that's exactly what needs to start happening.
Yeah, confronting them with the reality?
Confront them.
Yeah.
Look them in the face. Look them in the face and don't go away. Like that Sky News guy, I don't know if you saw that. He basically said to Cruz, why does this only happen here? Wow, you just don't like America. No, I don't like this part of it, but why does it always happen here? And of course that smarmy bastard turned and ran like the... I almost said it, and I'm not going to.
Okay.
And you know what we need, or at least I think this. I mean, I've not been in politics in so long, so I could be wrong. We need to get away from this bullshit about the majority of people think this and the majority of people think that. Those arguments only work in a democracy. We're not a democracy, and we need to stop trying to act as though we are. And we need to focus on how do we get power. Because the fact of the matter is this, in poll after poll, the majority agrees with us. In poll after poll, on any number of things, the majority agree. If you do the population, the Republican senators, 50 represent what percentage of the population versus the Democratic senators? It's not democratic. It's not a democracy. So until we get that shit out of our mind and stop proceeding and trying to get people elected based upon that, we're never going to win. Power. That's what it comes down to. Power. The Republicans understand it. That's why. That's why, as a, you know, as a minority of people, they've exercised it so well. Think about it. Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Barrett, Neil Gorsuch. Who appointed them? A person who never received a majority of the vote.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Well, look, the people who, I mean, the people who voted for the handmaid and Brad, et cetera, the senators who voted in their favor represent a distinct minority of the American population, okay? I mean, that's the Senate, the single most useless deliberative body on earth. And again, and I mentioned this last night, Steve. There's that word. And it's been used to describe the Senate so many, the greatest deliberative body on earth. Oh, you mean like deliberative in all deliberate speed? In Brown versus Board of Education, all slow speed? Deliberate means slow. Deliberate means will not act even under the gravest of circumstances. Will not act with any alacrity whatsoever.
But I agree 100% with you. But until we begin to understand you don't win, at least not right now in this country, by appealing to the, what's it, the Vox Populi?
Mm-hmm.
You don't win by appealing to them.
But in this case, apparently, well, no, not in America as it is presently constituted. You do not. But the Vox Populi says fix it to the tune of like 90%.
I understand. I would be curious to know the breakdown. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, except it's not really a limb. In statistics, a normal sample, a random sample, nationwide, will tell us what the proportion of people in that sample will be generally in proportion to the populations of each state, generally. Given that most of the population is in blue states, most of that majority is in blue states. In essence, everything over 50% is superfluous. And I'll give you another example. Biden won the election, or Biden won the popular vote by, what, 6-7 million. A good portion of those probably came from California. And I'm not discounting Californians' vote at all. But because everything is on a state-by-state basis in our system, every vote over 50 plus one is meaningless. It's wasted. Doesn't matter. Once you win 50 plus one, you get all the electoral votes and all those other votes.
Right. It's called first past the post.
Yeah. And it's and what exacerbates it is the fact that we have the electoral college as it's currently constituted. But it gets, I get back to my original point. If we're going to change this, we have to get power. And that means taking back power where we've ceded it. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Maryland. All five of those states I just mentioned used to be reliably Democrat and generally left of center in national and state elections. You've talked about this. Wisconsin isn't anymore.
No, that was a very deliberate thing too. That was the Koch brothers hard at work.
Fuck. West Virginia used to be. I had a
yeah. That changed in 2000. Don't get me going.
He must have been. I think he was from West Virginia. My history teacher in high school. And he used to say to us, every home in West Virginia had three pictures on their wall in this vertical order: John L. Lewis, FDR, and Jesus.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, that was Sam Huff.
Oh no, this was my teacher.
Yeah, but he was quoting Sam Huff, who played for the New York Giants and played for the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean the Washington football team?
Well, they were that then, yeah, but now they are the Washington
douche nozzles or shitheads or fuckwads or whatever they are.
The Washington Washington Football Club owned by Daniel Snyder, who is a gross and creepy human being. How about that?
Yeah, shitbag. I think shit. We can all agree on shitbag. He's on par with Senator Pfeifengesicht. But we have, and this is not limited to, you can't just say the Republicans. You have to say the entire right wing.
Well, because that takes into account the Libertarians and the Constitution Party and the precious little fetus party and the, you know, all those parties that are that for whom the Republican Party and the maggots aren't weird enough.
Right, and those. This all, you just got to go back, 1964.
Sure.
Right after Goldwater got his butt handed to him, the right said, never again. And that's when they put the plan in place. Think tanks, position papers, local elections, school boards. They used the baseball Class A, Class AA, Class AAA, Major League model. This is our farm. The local elections, school boards. That's the first level. When they go to the next level, when they go from Class A to Class AA, it's the state.
By the way, Arnold in PA wants you to know that he agrees with you. This time it does seem to be different. I'm still trying to figure out how this is different from Sandy Hook. I mean, there was the Supreme Court wasn't as crazy 10 years ago as it is now. But I'm not arguing. You know, Arnold has a beautiful, beautiful little girl. And he says, I'm afraid to send her to school every morning. And yeah, it's a K-5 school, and they've had lots of active shooter drills. What is that going to do to these children when they're adults? Because we know, I mean, I know behavioral health professionals, several, and one of the things that they've told me is that childhood trauma has a unresolved childhood trauma has a way of never turning you loose. I know a little of that, about that. But I'm finally dealing with it, so, you know, yay me at 59. But what is this? What is this shit? I just got a note from Joy in Ann Arbor, and she asked a trenchant question, as she always does. America, how do you like it that one of your little girls survived a school massacre by smearing her dead friend's blood on herself and playing dead for an hour? Because freedom. Because some gang of pasty-faced, doughy white dudes is scared, water-bowled, shit-legged to go to Walmart without a hog leg strapped on. You can't get much more redneck than Alabama. When I was growing up, people would have... What the fuck? I mean, you know, with the accent, what in God's name is wrong with you? Why are you packing heat, you fucking dumbass? You goddamn chicken shit?
Yeah,
what are you afraid of?
You're going to look like a fool.
I mean, maybe... Of course, there's a risk that comes with this. You say, you know, you start talking to that way these days. Well, I'll show you what to be afraid of, because they're not carrying them thinking that they're going to. No, they're carrying them as offensive weapons.
I
just got a note from Jude saying, different from Sandy Hook, precious as each child was, these fourth graders were Hispanic souls living on the border of Texas. And in America? You kidding me? In America? Well, how much change was wrought by the slaughter of 10 elderly black people in Buffalo? I mean, I'm sorry, I remain a cynic, but I tell you what, Steve, I got a bunch of people that want to get into the program. This is one of those nights we need to talk. Yeah. My friend, take care.
You too. Keep me posted on you, will you please?
I will.
And you know what I'm talking about.
I certainly will. I will. You take care of yourself, you hear?
Yeah, I will. Have a good night.
All right, see ya. Bye. And so, and by the way, we're at the top of the... We're at the end of the second hour of the program. We're making progress. We got down to, we've got another challenge on the table. It's got $40 to go on it. That's the third hole-in-one challenge, courtesy of Billable Rick. If we can bring in $50, it'll actually, it becomes two for one, and it'll be $150, and that'll get us down to $1,200 to go to finish the month of May. So... That's in the wings and waiting. It would be great if we could at least knock that out this evening. Well, actually, no. I got that wrong. 40, 19 bucks. $19 to go on Billable Rick's challenge. Thank you, Billable. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you, James. Thank you, Ralphs. $19 to go on that challenge. Let's go over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Mark. How are you?
I'm great, and I appreciate you recognizing my voice so quickly.
We've been talking for a while.
I hear you. It almost concerned me, but I'm sorry. Hey, so I would agree with Steve's observation of power. Of course, he used the analogy of the Supreme Court, and I'm calling with the motivation addressing the shooting. But I wondered if we wouldn't agree on a couple observations I've made. I'm positive about them, but I wanted to throw those out in a second here. But Steve's power, I'm a little bit older than yourself, Robin, which is irregardless of anything, if we could use that word. But, you know, I saw John Kennedy in person, I shook his hand, and I saw him leave my hometown in his vehicle. He seemed to be looking out the window and waving to the school children all lined up with their American flags. I think I was in kindergarten. I could swear he looked right at me the following day. And I said, gosh, I think he saw me again. But, you know, and then so we see Kennedy killed. That was huge for the country, the world. And then we see Martin Luther King. And then we see Bobby Kennedy. And I would throw in a lot of other people, too. We could go back to Medgar Evers, or you could go to the overthrow of Allende in Chile. You could go to Jimmy Hoffa. So they're kind of ruthless. They are about power. That's what Watergate, which was politely named Watergate because they didn't want you to know it was a Democratic headquarters. I know educated listeners like Steve, obviously, I'm not calling to speak to him through you, Robin, obviously would know that. But so language and George Orwell have been around for a while. But getting back to the shooting, I'm kind of going out on a limb like you did a second ago, and you probably still held back, Robin. But I've been watching how Texas has been sharing with the public their description of what occurred, which is very minimal. Then they took no questions at the press conference. And it reminded me immediately of the Russians to some degree. It's like, what? No questions. Are we there already there? So my thing is, I think the five-man police department could be pushed off to the side, put on a shelf. They're almost, not irrelevant, but they could be facilitators at the best if they were lucky. I think, you have DPS, the local, state police, the equivalent of the state police here in Florida. But I think in Texas, Robin, you could probably correct me. I don't have a lot of familiarization with the state of Texas by choice. Right. I apologize. I have a hard time flying over that state, but thank you. But, you know, GPS needs to kind of be.
Let's finish the job and just give you a cowbell for that.
Well, speaking of Texas, we got a cowbell. So, thank you, Robin. So, I'm thinking that DPS is predominantly Caucasian, and I'm thinking the Border Patrol is predominantly Latino.
It often is, especially along the Texas-Mexico border. Well, the New Mexico border, and the Arizona border, and the California border.
Right, and then you look at Washington or Canada or upstate New York, the Canadian borders, whichever, are probably, as you would say, the pasty white-faced billboard. You know, but no, the white people maybe do that. But I guess what I'm saying is, I think that some of this was, those were Spanish children, which were totally American, dying. I think there was intentional, something occurred there. And I don't know how brief it was. But we now know it was over 45 minutes. It's an hour now. And there's been a lot of obfuscation. There's been a lot of foot dragging on describing what occurred. And I'm thinking that the U.S. Border Patrol reminds me of my fellow Marine. Because, you know, when you work for that big, bad, evil government that the right hates so much, and you've worn a federal uniform in the Marine Corps, you have really very little, even though there are a few racists in there. You really kind of have that drilled out of you, or not beaten out of you, but you have that. It's one of the first subjects they address, like, I suppose, for listeners, the Full Metal Jacket, you know, where are you from, why they're in the squad bay and in their boxers. You know, so there's something, once you become federalized, having been federalized, a federal shock troop, so to speak. You just look at the world on a larger scale. And then I read that one of the Border Patrol agents from BORTAC, the Border Tactical Team, SWAT team, had a child at that school, and that maybe yes. A couple other border agents, not necessarily even BORTAC, but let's just for the sake of the smaller fish story, they had children there as well. So what I've read was that some of the BORTAC members realized that BORTAC wasn't moving quick enough, let alone DPS, let alone the city police, not large enough to even manifest the SWAT team.
Mark, I'm horrified by this story that they actually used the kids as human shields.
Where's that now? Where are you coming from with that? I haven't.
It was mentioned earlier in the program, along with the fact that one of the cops hollered, "If you need help, yell help," and the kid yelled help and got blown away.
Yes. Okay. That angle. I did just catch that about an hour ago from one of my friends on Facebook. That's very sad. And that also shows. That just doesn't really show. That doesn't show people as the Marines. I can't help it. The Marine comes out of me, especially with what we've gone through. I'm kind of a little bit on a Marine mode mentally.
I'm surprised you're not just triggered all to shit.
Well, actually, as things get worse, I get more relaxed, but I am triggered in other ways. I am, I've refined my my weapons capability, which I've walked away from for over 25 years. I got away from that. Just short of being a pacifist, but pacifist for specific causes, like protesting wars that you and I participated in. So, yeah, I did do that, and so did you, and so did many of our listeners. So but I see that propaganda is very dangerous, and it's dangerous for me because I'm not going to take certain identifying markers off my vehicle, because I think once I acquiesce and start backing up, I don't know where I stop backing up. Now, I'm not a fool about it, but I actually have an American flag all in a row, very neatly, with the eye of an artist or a carpenter. But I have my American flag, my Marine Corps emblem, and then the president's name. And then I have, next to that, I have my We Need Ammunition, Not a Ride sticker that I got for Zelensky. But so that probably confuses most of the people who get behind me. They probably don't know who Zelensky is yet, but where I live in Florida. But I think we may be looking at a case of racism. And those are brown children and they're dying, that DPS is kind of cock-blocking whoever's there, that they're in charge, they work for the governor, and before, as it's unfolding. And, they're the biggest silly badasses, they're the constables on patrol, they're the lead cowboy in charge, and they really don't do much. And so when that really got to me, I just happened to catch, I think it was yesterday evening, I haven't been watching every second of this, but when I do watch closely, and I'm watching the spokesman, I'm like, dude, you are sweating and fibbing, and you're turning white, and you're lying. And I'm like, what are you lying about? Something's going on, still going on.
Looks like they had plenty to lie about, didn't they?
It sure does, Robin. It seems to me that I think the fact that Cruz has stepped into it, and of course Abbott's there. I think that they know they think in their minds that a lot of things hang in the balance. And so this is unfortunately an opportunity to see the difference between that mentality, which runs scared from its own messaging, and true reality, which responds to just regular life, are about to collide. And I think that most people will see that propaganda has done a great job of fooling folks. And it's just like your comment earlier to Jude about, you make that same observation, really. I just worded it my way, but that they will vote for the same people unless they can connect the dots. And I think some of them will realize, some might, and I'm sure there are. It just seems to me, I still have a hard time getting this off my chest, that the white DPS, cockblock, tried to, the U.S. Federal Border Patrol agents, and the Border Patrol agents weren't moving quick enough for their liking, and I bet you a nickel that one of the final shooters, there's two of them that made their way in there close enough to kill the bad guy, I bet you one of them is a Marine. I can't help it because... Like you had a caller call it or write in earlier, and it definitely wouldn't be me, but a well-trained Marine and what they would do if they lost their child. But, and that's something that I understand what the caller or what the writer was describing, but, you know, people with true self-discipline don't psychologically fall for that. But
let's take a minute here because NBC's reporter Ken Delanian talked earlier this evening. On Nicole Wallace's program, he talked about two gaps in response at Uvalde. The first one, the NBC reporter, his name's Kerry Sanders. You'll often see him in hurricane coverage and various other disasters.
He's a nice little guy.
He was doing his stand-up at the police station. The police station itself is about a mile from the school. And there was a 10-minute gap in response on that. But the second one, the Uvalde Police Department SWAT team sat around for an hour waiting for the Border Patrol tactical team to arrive. And what Ken Delanian said was, it's really just unfathomable, and law enforcement officials who are watching this across the country, as Tom Winter said earlier on the air, are aghast at what happened here. But I'd like to recall something. Is my memory serving me correctly, Mark? When Parkland took place, didn't the school resource officer go all Romulan and show the shooter nothing but assholes and elbows?
Well, I would answer that question immediately this way. There was more, because of where they are, there is more than one SRO officers, what they call them in Florida. At least they used to when I chased burglars at that school at that time. But one in particular, who was already at a distance at the other end of the school. Yes, he did. I don't know that he fled, but he did what Marine Corps training tells you to do. Here's what they tell you, unless you have the same firepower, if you're outgunned by a rifle and you're carrying just the pistol, you need to find another way to solve your situation. So he put his life first and chose not to engage. The thing, and it's not that Robin would know this or any other listeners, but that when a person has superior firepower, more ammunition, and more penetrating capability, what they can do is fire and maneuver. They close with their next victim, which is you with your pistol. And so they can pin you down, they advance on you. They pin you down, they advance on you. And suddenly, whatever you're behind, now they're shooting through that. And they have some high-capacity ammunition now for rifles, of which I won't tell you over the air what my personal thing is, but I have a little base knowledge on these things. So my thing is, so when you have a pistol, unless you are right in your last moment, just like you made a comment earlier in the show, oftentimes people have an image of weapons and what they think they can do for them. And one of the things they teach you at the police academy is, you can never outdraw a drawn weapon. Once a weapon is drawn upon you, you cannot outdraw them. It's already over. Now, they're not telling you to surrender, but your mind has to be engaged before, during, and after the incident to survive the incident, if you are lucky enough to do that. So the thing is, it's not saying don't be armed. It's not saying even your woman caller from Washington is a very strong peace person. She said, I would defend people too. Even Jude said, I would basically, I'm putting words in her mouth, but she would fight to defend the innocent, because people like Jude, yourself, I would definitely want you in my fighting position. Marines call staff, the Army calls it foxholes, Marines have fighting positions. I would want you there because you have heart. You have heart. Heart is what can get you through a situation. That's by caring very much. That's not by praying. And I share with my Confederates that live here, whether they're Northern or not. I say, I know people prayed during the Civil War, but prayer didn't end slavery. Bayonets did. And blood up over the ankles in boot-deep trenches with blood that deep ended slavery. That's what ended slavery. Bayonets ended slavery. So my point is, I think that the white DPS and somehow the Border Patrol may have had, they could have had an issue there. Somebody's trying to block one agency or the other. And if you look at it from a national political standpoint, even though the Border Patrol has a conservative reputation exacerbated by Cittadini, they would still look good under the auspices of President Biden being in the White House, and you have federal response doing the final killing. I don't know that that was the issue. And then they're saying that Cruz, I was listening to Randy Rhodes say, Cruz is pushing the narrative, which I haven't paid any attention to him, but other than people's interpretation, is that the school was faulty by leaving a door open. Well, you could say that about any home that was burglarized. You can always blame the victim. But we don't know that to be true. They don't even know who shot at who was armed. They don't even know now if the kid had the body armor. They're saying he didn't. So I've been on Facebook, and I try to always be judicious whenever I communicate about things that I perceive to be a fact. Some people care more than others about things. I try to be cautious with my statements. I said that the shooter in Buffalo and the shooter in Uvalde both had on body armor, which stops pistol rounds for sure and some rifle rounds. These are upgrade attacks, I call them. I call them upgrade attacks. They are shooting their way in, killing the victims, and then shooting or killing themselves on the way out. This is something like the Los Angeles bank robbery. This is like the guy that went into the club in Orlando when I called your show and overused the inappropriate language that I care so much about people. And
I remember.
I never meant any harm with that. Yes, and I never meant any harm with that. I'm very much a protector of all people, regardless of their transition. So he knew that when he bought his weapon as a security guard at a NASA-affiliated corporate business that had government clearances, not necessarily himself, but those that I believe that he did at some level of something. He knew that he bought it. He only had so much time. I'm wondering if this kid in Texas also knew that he was lucky to have those guns and had to act quickly. That's another observation I would make. I'm just throwing these things out there. This is not over yet.
No. Mark, I want to go back, if it's okay. I want to go back to the things as they unfolded when the federal officials arrived at Uvalde. There's a quote in a story from the Washington Post, and it reads as follows. Ms. Gomez, a farm supervisor, now we're talking about a parent who has children inside the school at that time. Ms. Gomez, a farm supervisor, said that she was one of numerous parents who began encouraging, first politely and then with more urgency, police and other law enforcement to enter the school. You can imagine what that sounded like.
Oh, my God.
After a few minutes, she said, federal marshals approached her and put her in handcuffs, telling her she was being arrested for intervening in an active investigation. Well, lucky for her, a local Uvalde police officer was nearby, and the Wall Street Journal story continues, Ms. Gomez convinced local Uvalde police officers whom she knew to persuade the marshals to set her free. Around her, the scene was frantic. She said she saw a father tackled and thrown to the ground by police and a third pepper sprayed. Once freed from her cuffs, Ms. Gomez made her distance from the crowd, jumped the school fence, ran inside, grabbed her two children, and then sprinted out of the school with them.
Holy shit.
All while a bunch of cops were standing around with their thumbs up their asses.
Right. I've never told you this, Robin, but during the riots in Miami, the second set of riots, the first ones were in 79 when McBride, the Vietnam veteran, was beat to death with a flashlight. And then when they found the cop, the Dade County, I work for the city, the Dade County cop,
They didn't find him guilty. I won't say the word. They didn't find him guilty. Then the next set of riots broke out. I was in uniform. I was off that night. Oh, man. I've lost my train of thought. I just...
Well, that's understandable.
I know what it was. Robin, I know what it is. I apologize. My friend that I met at a nightclub was a City Miami sergeant. He wasn't there at the discotheque nightclub as a customer. He worked there off duty. And he was smart, you know, because you get to see all the good-looking customers coming in. He didn't give a shit. He was older, squared away. He's also the only surviving member of his 13-man squad. Number 12 died as he was dragging him away. Everybody else was already dead. And Pat said, you know, I knew he wasn't going to make it. And I looked at him. When he told me the story, I didn't ask him to tell me shit. I didn't ask him anything about Vietnam. He liked me. He saw how I operated with people. And he saw that I was a legitimate person. And he said, you know how I knew he was going to die? He said, because it had that kind of blood. And I said, what? He goes, you know that kind of blood. He said, the slippery blood. And I said, you mean like from the chest? He said, yeah, like the oxygenated blood. That blood's real slippery. And he said, I knew he wasn't going to make it because I was pulling on him. I couldn't carry him. And Pat's not a big guy. Pat went over to come after the city accused him of something he didn't commit. He left the police department after nearly 20 years and went on to become the United States Olympic boxing coach, Pat Burns. But Pat told me also a story. And during that big set of riots, the second part of the riot, that he saw the SWAT team in the station all running around like in the movie The Blues Brothers, up 2-3, bumping into each other, running in circles, putting on their helmets, their chin straps, their flak jackets. They didn't do shit, he said, Mark. He goes, I grabbed my buddy. I knew I could count on. He said, we didn't wear shit. He drove the paddy wagon. And I jumped out and grabbed bodies under fucking fire. He goes, my partner would jump out and pin people down on roofs in Miami and pick up people that were dead or injured and throw them in the back of the paddy wagon and take them to JMH, which is Jackson Memorial. And he did save a couple people. Most of the people died. People were beat to death, bashed to death with chunks of curb, stabbed with screwdrivers. It was a war zone without weapons. And he basically was saying the same thing that a lot of Marines say to each other. There's a lot of dog and pony. There's a lot of image. There's a lot of people that had a grandfather that did this or did that in their mind. But in reality, you know, so people get hyperinflated with a bunch of bullshit and propaganda, and they fall for it. And I don't feel sorry for any of them. I'm like, dude, it's fucked up, and if you don't address the fact that you're going to be in a fucked up situation, that's on you, bro. So you got to be psychologically tough, you got to be emotionally prepared, and you've got to punch through this. So Pat wasn't putting down the SWAT team. He just said, he goes, it's a bunch of clowns. Pat had seen more action by the time he was probably 25 years old than anybody in the whole police department would see in a career. And then he did see a career full of stuff. And he was actually featured in Tropic Magazine, which is like the parade version of the Miami Herald, a very well-done magazine that flies in the Sunday paper, which I don't know that it still exists. But he was on the cover of that magazine. He was a neat guy. And he went on to become Bernard Hopkins' corner coach and made some money. He's been featured on HBO with the boxer. And anyway, I just think something big has gone on there, and I'm not quite able to put my finger on it, but you can still see that it's a cover up. And then they bring in the spokesman, the lieutenant.
Well, yeah, like, so I've got a clip here, Mark. From the supposed news conference earlier today. The crime and justice correspondent for CNN, Shimon Prokopich, made inquiry of a police spokesman standing there in his cowboy hat. And they were asking him hard questions, and well, he wasn't real fond of it, I guess you could say. Check this out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like he's being asked hard questions.
I got you. Some good questions. Yes, sir.
You guys have said that he was barricaded. Can you explain to us how he was barricaded and why you guys cannot breach that door?
So I have taken all your questions into consideration. We will be doing updates. We will be doing updates to answer those questions.
You should be able to answer that question now, sir.
What is your name?
Shimon Prokopets from CNN.
I hear you.
Because we've been given a lot of bad information. So why don't you clear all of this up now and explain to us how it is that your officers who were in there for an hour, yes, rescuing people, but yet no one was able to get inside that room.
Shimon, we will circle back with you. We want to answer all your questions. We want to give you the why. That's
yeah, he's going to circle back and circle and circle and circle, and hopefully yeah, cool. He'll run them in circles till they don't know up from down, back from dark from not, dark from day, and sun and Sunday from Friday.
Yeah, he'll be circling in the police station like the SWAT team that didn't do shit during the Miami riots. There's a lot of dog and pony show, and true courage takes true participation. And sacrifice isn't stupid. Sacrifice means determining what your risk factors are and tackling the assignment nonetheless. And that, I respect it all, but I don't respect bullshit. And if you're gonna wear the gun and the badge,
That was bullshit, yeah. Wasn't it? That we're going to circle. That was bullshit, wasn't it? I mean, I'm just checking.
Oh, it actually, the only reason I think that he even asked his first name, because he could look and tell and probably even knew, because they're going to be talking to each other, that he's there, that he's not only, I don't want to say CNN, but they know he's CNN. He's a Latino. And those are dead Latinos. No, and that's a Latino speaking for the fucking cracker. He's speaking for the Texan cracker. I'm like, bro, have some respect for your own people. Be a proud Latino. Don't sell out to these liars.
Mark, I'm surprised you didn't call him boy. What's your name, boy? What the hell kind of name is Shimon?
Yeah, are you from Russia or are you from Texas? Where are you from, boy? I'm like, well, I'm fixing to find out, I reckon. I'm like, man, it's bad. So I'm so proud of that reporter. He is a top little cookie. And I've always liked him. He's a cutting-edge street person. He's great during the riots and protests. There's no fucking riots, it's just protests. But, I mean, he's a brave dude. And he gets right out and he finds out the truth, because he's grew up on the streets of New York. He knows. Well, I had that looked his background up, but I could just look and tell. He's a trustworthy person, and then that guy got caught off guard going, oh, shit. You know, these are my Latin brethren. So he's torn now, even though he's a spokesman for Cracker Inc., you know, Cracker Incorporated. So I don't know. It's
we try to be a little more sensitive here. We will refer to them. We will refer to them either as saltines or Ritz, or perhaps Triscuits, Wheat Thins, or Waverly. No, wait. We're talking about the Uvalde Police Department. We'll call them chicken and a biscuit.
Oh, is that what Uvalde Police PD are? Are they chicken and a biscuit? Oh yeah, you're very good. That's very good.
Took me a minute. Well, sorry. Sometimes we have to workshop. Sometimes we have to workshop the humor here.
I actually like both crackers, and I like the Triscuits. But in any case, it bothers me. I feel very close to Latino culture, and I know that you do too. You know a lot about I don't want to say their history, the history in Central America and Mexico. You know more about certain things about Latin America than I do because of your education. I listen closely to what you say, and stuff that
ventures that you've taken, whether you're off the coast of Georgia with the all black island there that speaks to Gugliji or anyway, any case, you, Robin, you've seen a lot, you've educated Geechee, yourself, and you're real. Yes, the Geechee. So you're very real, and you, because you have heart, and that's why people like listening to you. You have heart and you care. And you've let go of a lot of bullshit, and you put your, literally, your money where your mouth is. You put your heart out there, and you're a gift, and you're somebody that we can all speak with and know that we're understood by, and we're equally compassionate. I have brushed up on my skills, and I don't look. You also made a comment earlier. I was like, Jesus, this guy's a mind. This lady's a mind reader. You said something about offensive weapons, and then I thought, well, right, because I have a defensive weapon. And but any case, I stick with my Marine Corps training, and my granddaughter gets to school every day, and I pick her up every day safely, not because I have fear of where she attends or the neighborhood. It's because of what could happen with the current politics and interpretation of propaganda. And these people here believe the election was stolen. And
oh, Lord, I know.
You know.
Not
all. Right, right. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. So
Mark, it's so unnerving when you're talking to somebody and they seem perfectly reasonable and you're moving up on like about the 5-minute mark in the conversation and they go, and you know the election was stolen.
Oh my God! You can't even get to diplomatic ground. I'll get in a conversation.
I'm going to start. I'm going to start carrying a hip flask of rock gut tequila in my purse. And I'm just going to unscrew the lid. You know, when we get to the, and you know the election is stolen. I'm just going to reach in my purse, pull out, and I'm going to put the swirly straw in, and I'm just going to go to town. Next thing you know, I'll be wandering around behind the little animals.
Well, I just drink the affordable Cabernet Sauvignon, but I thought you were going to use it for a self-defense flask, or it's just fitting their eye. But
no, but I love the idea of a self-defense flask. I think that's cowbell worthy. In fact, it reminds me of the scene with W.C. Fields on the golf course, and he said, and of course this is during Prohibition. And he said, you know, I always keep a bottle of alcohol on hand in case I see a snake. And he goes, whew, hand me that Canadian club. Golf bag, Canadian club.
Yeah. Get that? Yeah. Vodka's Canadian club. Better than vodka. But they hit with tick. I don't know, man. Propaganda was. So I'm going to continue looking for Nazis. I think most of them are in Texas. So I'm going to let Vladimir Putin know that. And I appreciate listening to my call, Robin.
Well, you are more than welcome, and I want you to know that Billable Rick, whose challenge, by the way, has been met. Thank you, Billable, and thank you to everyone who jumped in answering that. Thank you so much. Let me make sure an anonymous friend and our pal Christopher for the hole in one challenge. Thank you, Christopher, and we're actually down to 1191 to go to finish the month of May. Thank you all. But Billable Rick in particular said, please compliment Mark on his excellent call to the Randy Rhodes Show today. He talked about how the police at the shooting gallery, i.e. the Robb Elementary School, stood down and allowed the miscreant to stay in the classroom for more than an hour and kill almost everyone in that building before they finally sent in a SWAT team.
Yeah, I just couldn't, because you and I know each other, and I know the audience of your show would not be flabbergasted by me cutting to the chase and saying that the white DPS, state cops, cock blocks, whoever, there was some kind of struggle going on. And it would call it, to me as a kid, it would be like some kind of racism going on there, left those children's lives in the lurch, however it unfolded. And I did see, and what confused me 2 days ago, I saw footage with a Latino female was quite excited, and she's pointing and arguing with the cops. I'm like, what is, I mean, I know that these children, but I don't understand why, what's going on, because there's no sound. But what it is there's a guy on Facebook, Sean King, and that's floating around now on Facebook and on YouTube, I presume. But it explains the conversation that people were saying, give us your vest, give us your guns, we'll go in there. I'm like, bro, this was bad. Something happened there. I don't know what it is, Robin, but I think that they're worried about losing control between the loss of electricity and the fake abortion, real abortion, and now the shooting. This is all their own propaganda that they feed themselves, blowing up in their own faces. That we have to respond
Mark, is the common term for that, this is their chickens coming home to roost?
Apparently, yeah. I would say yes. Yes, that's apparently. Or we say in the Marine Corps, what goes around comes around, motherfucker. You know, it's karma. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the motherfucker part that makes it a Marine saying. Yeah.
No, I don't understand what they just. It's like the critical race theory. I'm like, bro, nobody talk about that but you people. You're bringing it up. No one's heard of
well,
that.
You know what? I'm amazed. I'm honestly amazed that we're actually even talking about this story at all, because it's bound to be making some white children feel real bad.
Well, actually, maybe.
Sorry.
Maybe,
I mean, that's
well,
the, that's
are you
the,
talking about the critical race theory or the shooting?
Talking about the shooting is critical race theory, because critical race theory, the reason we want to stop it is because it might make the white, little white children feel bad.
Well, sir, you and I know that's not even a joke. That's not even a joke. That is very real. We don't
That's what sends Moms for Liberty into school board meetings to protest. Ruby Bridges goes to school, for God's sakes.
Robin, we've never met, and I've never had biceps bigger than Marjorie Taylor Greene's. I've just ran and bicycled too much. I'm still kind of a big dude, but I'm like, dude,
I've never had biceps larger than Marjorie Taylor Greene's. Hang on.
No, I have not, sir.
You just turned in the cowbell hat trick.
Yes, I got to go watch a hockey match, which I don't, but it's too white for me. But in any case, Robin, thank you for being there for us every night. Thank you for caring so much. And let's just keep pushing. I think somebody else said this to me, but unfortunately, I have to say it myself. This is an opportunity for us to stay true to our message. We don't have to become aggressive like the Republicans do. They do kill for power. They burglarize for power. They blow people up. They burn buildings down. And they support the other dictators and fascists in the world. So because Wall Street, I don't know. So I just think that if we stay true to our values, that good people can prevail, but it's dangerous. There will continue to be casualties. But I thank you for being there, Robin.
Oh, Mark, I won't say it's my pleasure, but it is good to be able to carry on a conversation like this in a community of such goodwill and good faith. I think it's
beneficial. You are a very brave lady, and I'm proud of you, and I admire your conviction to yourself, not in a selfish way. It's not a selfish conviction. It's just being true to yourself, and it takes a lot more courage than most human beings care to address. And I respect courage. I don't respect stupid courage too much, or dumb courage, but good courage. And you are involved with that. So, and I thank you for your caring, your courage, and your compassion. And I thank you for listening to me tonight. I know they're going to continue to lie, but they're already in the process of being trapped by their lies. So,
from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Robin.
Mark, you have a good night, my friend. Take care. Stay safe.
Take care.
Bye now.
Das vidaniya.
Das vidaniya. Usually Mark ends with Semper Fi, but yeah. So both lines are open. And now one of them isn't. So let's go back to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program. Are you there? Oh, Scott.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I in one ear I've got the live feed, and the other ear I've got you.
That way lies madness, Scott.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. You know, those, and I sent you an email regarding this, but there wasn't time, so I'll just say it myself. Those, cracker talk, okay? Down there, when you get that deep into the Lone Star State, this crew down in, what is it called, Eufaula?
Uvalde. Actually, not Uvalde.
Uvalde. When you get that deep down into the heart of Texas, you're down there toward the gallbladder or the spleen or something. But when you get down there, they're not just merely crackers. They're so unsavory and bland. Call them, you need a biscuit.
Hey, how about Zwieback?
Or, oh, even worse, is that Zwieback? Is it Zwieback or Zwieback?
I think it's Zwieback.
Get the Fuhrer on the phone. We have a disagreement. We're not German. We are Swiss. All right. But I just,
stop.
And I'll make this brief because I know with the conversation so lively today, for good reason, a lot of people want to get in. It occurs to me that, you know, and I know that Steve in New York is coming from the right place. And it's surprising to me that I would be challenging him on his optimism, what with me being the, you know, the optimistic commander-in-chief.
Former.
After today or after this week. But here's the problem. I'm all for turning around and changing our ways, okay? But for 30 to 40 years, the NRA and the GOP have combined forces and resources to erect nonstop, morning, noon, and night. They've got crews out erecting no U-turn signs. So that even at this point, if we wanted to turn around vis-a-vis guns and weapons of destruction, there's no room to do it in. We have, as a country, we've roadblocked ourselves from any meaningful action. And the NRA odometer of death, I mean, the sound of the clicking this week was deafening. And we've kind of acclimated ourselves to it. It's a cycle. It happens. There's sadness. There's outrage. We lower the flags. We bury the dead. And nothing ever fucking changes.
I mean, does the American flag even fly at full staff anymore?
Well, not in some places. I'm sure old Lori waves high and dry. But in places where people have heart and soul and sense, they have the decency to lower it when this happens. But you're right. Why raise it all the way up to the little gold ball at the top or the eagle? Why take it that high if you're only going to bring it down twice in 1 week or twice in the space of a week? So I'm righteously pissed. And I'm,
well, you want to get angrier?
You're not going to make me angrier, are you?
I don't know, can I?
Am I going to spit and say dirty words?
You're going to chew pig iron and spit white-hot rivets.
Holy fuck, like the Popeye cartoon.
Yeah.
When he was building the skyscraper. Go ahead, do me.
Well, we've heard from the chief of police in Uvalde. We all heard the behavior of the mayor when Beto O'Rourke showed up to tell them that they weren't doing shit to protect children.
Boy.
Yeah. Let's have a little language. It is spelled B-O-Y, but in places like Texas and Mississippi Stan and Talabama, it is pronounced ball.
Yeah.
Ball. Just like O-I-L, which lubricates one's automobile. That is all. All.
You want them outside New York agitators.
You know, we're about tired of your outside agitating from your New York news stations. You understand, Ball?
Yeah, Ball.
So, a real genius by the name of Tony Gonzalez is the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republican representative for the district in which Uvalde resides. And Garrett Hake of NBC caught up with him today and started asking of him some questions. And if you thought the Texas two-step was a hell of a dance to bear witness to, well, I don't know what we call what Tony Gonzalez did.
46 past the hour on Capitol Hill, Senate Democrats are talking with their Republican colleagues to see if there is a path forward on legislation aimed at ending gun violence. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has given Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy 10 days to see if a bipartisan bill is possible. This comes as lawmakers and anti-gun violence activists just wrapped up a rally on Capitol Hill calling for lawmakers to take action immediately. NBC News senior Capitol Hill correspondent Garrett Hake joins us now from San Antonio. Garrett, you just spoke with Texas Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez, who represents Uvalde. What did he have to say?
He grew up near this area, and so we talked a lot about what kind of community Uvalde is. And Jose, he had the same experience that you and I have had, which is that everyone who is involved, everyone who you meet in that community.
And I think that's probably the part where he said, well, Garrett, I just want you to know that this is not who we are. Yeah, you know, that's one of those that sends me right up a tree. But anyway,
knows someone who was affected by this. And then we try to talk about potential solutions. He talked to me about ideas like trying to harden schools in Texas or trying to improve access to mental health services in Texas, which ranks last in the nation for access to those kinds of services. And I tried to ask him about guns, if there's any kind of legislation he would support. I asked him three times why he felt it was necessary for an 18-year-old in Texas to be able to buy an assault rifle.
Wait, three times? You know, like the, like, because I know you know you're, like, the three times that Peter was asked, hey, isn't that Jesus guy you used for, who's, what? No, never heard of him. Yeah, that. So, Stan, that's okay. I just had to interrupt.
Pipe up. Well, three times he.
What?
Crank up the audio. I want to hear the cock crow.
Okay.
Declined to answer the question directly. And then I asked him about one of the specific pieces of legislation that is being discussed on Capitol Hill, the idea of simply incentivizing states to put their own extreme risk protection order or red flag laws into place to try to take guns potentially out of the hands of people who are thought to be dangerous by courts or doctors. Here's what he said about a vote on that kind of legislation. The House votes the week you get back on a bill to incentivize states like Texas to put in place red flag laws. Would you support that bill?
This is how the House works. Right now, in the House, Democrats control the House, Democrats control the Senate, Democrats control the White House. What does that mean? Any piece of legislation they want, they could pass. So if the Democrats truly wanted to support gun control, they could pass.
Oh, wait, Garrett Hake didn't tell us that he was an idiot who didn't know who Mitch McConnell was, did he?
You know, it's like, oh, that guy, we wondered who he was.
That looks a little bit like a turtle. You may have seen him once or twice there, Tony, old boy. Yeah, right?
There
yeah.
was a turtle, and his name was Bert. Yeah.
Exactly. Let us let the stupid continue. Hang on.
Oh, okay, all right.
That today.
Congressman, I know how Congress works. I'm asking if you would support a bill like that.
Democrats control everything. Why have they not passed anything? Now, that gets into the politics in it. I'm here to support the community. My energy is on the community.
Yeah. Okay there, Tony. Good for you. I mean,
see, what the very astute correspondent forgot to add when he referenced, you know, as we proceed and walk down the path toward of sane and reality-based gun legislation, he forgot to mention that you got to step over the fucking bodies and watch out for the pools of blood, children's blood, Mandrake, slippery,
little children's blood.
I mean, God damn it, Robin! I mean, come on. There is so much posturing I mean, you expect it from the fucking NRA finance GOP, but when our own side starts doing it,
Tony Gonzalez is a Republican. He's no Democrat.
I thought he was a Democrat.
No. No, that's what all that Democrats control Congress bullshit was about.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, you'll get a kick out of this too. Tarrant County. You've heard of Tarrant County taxes?
Yeah, that's up. Yeah.
Fort Worth. Well, the day after Uvalde, a deputy from the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office gave us a presentation to students at one of the schools there. This story showed up in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And in his presentation at Daggett Elementary School, according to the principal, his presentation included information that was not age-appropriate. It was insensitive and not suitable for students in light of recent events. Gotta say it right, events. And what it boils down to is the deputy there, he made fun of liberals because they're afraid of AR-15s.
Well, wait a minute, though. That is just so much bullshit and fake faux sensitivity, posturing again. I mean, if you're talking about the debriefing of children who actually saw it with their own innocent eyes, I would say, and I'm no expert on this, but I would say the cat is already out of the fucking bag.
And the horse out of the barn and long gone over the horizon. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this is where history and memory will serve us if we will but latch on to it and understand it and apply it.
But see, hang on though, Scott, because here's one of those things that isn't necessarily being as broadly reported.
Okay.
The same day that Deputy Dog here, remember Deputy Dog, was given his presentation in the greater Fort Worth area, over in Richardson, Texas, a kid was arrested. A high school kid was arrested entering the premises of the high school in Richardson with an AK-47 and an AR-15.
And it wasn't for
the day after Uvalde.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And then there's Sacramento, California. In Sacramento, they found a second grader with a handgun with a loaded magazine in their desk the same day as Uvalde.
A second grader.
Freedom!
Do you remember when you were in second grade? I sure as hell remember when I was.
I remember it intensely well.
I was lucky to be mindful enough to bring my crayons and writing tablet at second grade. And back then, in my case, in the 60s, with nuns in charge, the thing that you feared most was getting rapped on the knuckles by one of the nuns. You know?
Yeah.
But this thing about history and memory working for us if we latch on to it. Back when, and God, I know Duncan's head's going to explode. Back when President Kennedy was killed on the streets of Dallas, which is in Texas, riding right behind the fucking governor of Texas, when that shit came down, shortly thereafter, the Congress passed a law where you couldn't buy weapons through the mail. Okay? They acted pretty quickly in response to the occurrence. 5 years later, when the president's brother Robert was shot and killed in California with a handgun, the legislature got a crack in there, and they made it so that you couldn't buy handguns so easily. So it's not like this country cannot apply the lessons of history and current events, in this case, to better our situation. But these Republicans will just, they've got a little flow chart if he says this, then we say this. If he says that, then we say that. Okay? Their little response chart, if you look at the bottom, you may see the union book that it was union printed, but also paid for by the fucking NRA or some other secret fucking group of black, what do you call those entities, those 501, well, you know what I mean. The dirty money that keeps these, keeps the situation the same is part of the problem. It's not just the guns. It's the people that take the contributions and do the bidding of these fucking merchants of death. They're as bad as the tobacco companies were back in the day. And we, you know, why can't we get the fucking seven CEOs of the gun companies up there testifying, lying under oath, but testifying nonetheless, and get something going here where we can show the rest of the world and ourselves that we haven't taken leave of our senses, for fuck's sake. I mean, how many, like the old song, how many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? We won't know that number in my lifetime. That's how optimistic I am. And I'm sorry if I'm a little sad and bitter.
Oh, no, you got a right to be. Get this. Ralph's just shared something with me. This comes from Twitter. Uvalde update. We were finally able to see my living nephew's body to confirm identity. I'm not quite sure what that means. Shot in the face. While leaving to return home, we were followed by what was assumed to be media, with which we do not wish to speak during this time. 4 minutes after returning home, a knock on the door. It's a representative for Governor Greg Abbott. He informed us he's willing to pay us to stand with the governor and say we don't need stronger gun laws, which almost got this clown hurt. He was asked to leave and said that if we speak about this conversation, we'll be facing charges and possibly worse. We responded with, fuck you, try me and find out. Then we were told people get hurt and disappear all the time. Fuck Greg Abbott and this harassment while we all mourn.
And who was reporting this?
A relative of one of the shot kids.
I would get on as many media outlets as I possibly could. Did he get the fellow's name?
I'm looking at the...
See, here's... When I heard that, and you're not bringing this to me as brand new news, because I heard this reported. Do you know that when Putin took power over in the former Soviet Union, that he got around him a bunch of, well, let's call them yes men. They were Putin's guys. They continue to be.
Oh, okay. No, it is not real. I just dug down. No, it is probably not real.
Well, I heard something like that within the last 12 hours or 24 hours anyway. Where someone was contacted in the guise of being supportive, but they were trying to tamp down any outburst, if you will, by victims or relatives of victims. There is a reality aspect to that, and I'm only going by what I heard, and I heard it on one of the major networks just during the coverage of this thing in the last day, at least less than a day even. But I'm telling you, unless we get our act together, this will never stop happening.
Well, I take your point and I think you're right, but there's the devil is in the details, Scott, and the question is, what does it mean to get our act together?
Well, part of it will show up if we can move past the upset and outrage and codify it in some way where even if... who was the representative from Connecticut, Senator? Was it Chris Murphy?
Chris Murphy.
All right. He even said, this may not stop this type of thing from happening, but we've got to take the first step. And even if you save one life, that's going to mean something to the person whose life you saved and to the people who love that person.
I'm gonna stay on air for a minute here because I'm not sure. Arnold, can you give me some clarification on what you just sent me? I don't want to say anything about it, but it's harrowing, and I don't want to trigger or torment anybody. I'm looking now. Bear with me.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Not seeing anything here. Arnold, this is without context. Arnold just saw, I mean, is that current Arnold? And we're just, active shooter event, not sure exactly the details. I just caught this notification.
Right now, you mean, as we see?
7:20 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Oh, Jesus.
Arnold, can you, yeah, 20 minutes ago. He says it's current. Marion County Sheriff and EMS, Fairmont Police and Fire. 7:20 p.m. active event, mass shooting.
Okay, Marion County.
Yeah, that would be Marion County, West Virginia.
Are you shitting me, Robin?
No, honey, I'm not.
Oh, Jesus.
And, I mean, I don't want people getting all, but that just stopped me in my tracks.
Well, that kind of preempted something I was going to ask
it's
you.
From, it is from broadcastify.com, 7:20 p.m., 13,064 listeners. And nothing I see is hitting the wires yet. Let me see if I can find anything somewhere else.
Just in the while you're doing that, just in the past week, the former, current ex-president with the orange chin was quoted about talking, saying a word to the effect of, in the coming days, there will be a civil war, a new civil war, words to that effect. I think it's already underway. I just think it pops up in places. It's like pop-up madness. And it's going to, I really think it's going to get worse.
Oh, Jesus, it's real.
Oh, man.
I mean, I just looked at, I just looked at the paper of record for the state, and all I found was police man killed after opening fire at partygoers. That's out of Charleston, West Virginia. Manhunt underway in Marion County, West Virginia, after suspects police engage in moving shootout during pursuit in Harrison and Marion counties. Fairmont, West Virginia, Dateline, high-speed chase, moving shootout. Along the I-79, which I know like the back of my hand. Exchange of gunfire between police and suspects. One suspect in custody, two remain at large.
No word on what caused this.
The East Fairmont High School on lockdown as some students and parents were there for activities.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Shit. Well, I don't know. Let's see. I got, somebody said something to me on Twitter. Thank you, Arnold. Interstate 79 shut down in Marion County for police activity. Thank you, Tamara. Both north and southbound lanes. Mile marker 133. I'm looking at the picture. Oh, my God. Heavy police presence at the Kingmont Road exit. This story is developing.
And yet we have people who should know better and probably do know better in their heart of hearts saying, move along, folks, nothing to see here. Isolated incident, act of a mad person, blah, blah.
That's not far from the original stomping grounds of Joe to the mansion born. Scott, I'm gonna get out of here. I want to follow this and see what the hell's going on.
I don't blame you, Robin. And please be safe there. Warren family, be safe wherever you are. And try to stay calm in times that promote anything but calm. I don't know any other advice to give, and I don't usually give advice.
There's no advice. We're fresh out of advice.
Yeah. And answers. We got answers. We just won't apply them. We're screwed.
We're all screwed, Scott.
Take care, Robin. Take care, Horn people.
You too, my friend. Bye. What in the hell is this? I don't know. Let me see here. Yeah, Stephen, New York saw the same thing I saw. Merca. I want to thank everybody who's helping to keep this broadcast, little independent liberal broadcast, alive. Thank you so much. Friday on the front porch or something tomorrow. I usually make a point of doing all the credits because everybody mentioned deserves the mention. But I think I'm going to take a powder on that tonight. Like Scott said, y'all be safe. The NRA roulette wheel of death spins everywhere. And no one is immune. And no one is ever entirely safe. Love you all. Back tomorrow. Okay? Later.